A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brialso Lake puts this game away!
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care-to-be-great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Hey, welcome on in. Oh, yeah.
Hey, we're getting hazed,
Turn
by the way.
I know. I was told we were being hazed today by having Football hazed. Friday being a part of our life. There's no way you could tell me that playing some Pearl Jam and having Coach Mack in front of me and Alema Harrington in front of me for Football Friday is going to get me rattled, okay? This is like how I get pumped up, my guy. Like, this is how I show up to places. I mean, so if you want to call it hazing, then fine.
Well, when I have to go to the bathroom, that's usually when I turn Pearl Jam on, so it's kind of a different deal for me.
We've got so much to, first of all, we walked up over here, and obviously, so I have met through my time in the sports media world here, Alema, a handful of times, a dozen plus. I also, when I was an intern at the Zone years and years ago, we crossed paths quite a bit. But this is my first time being able to put hand flesh to flesh on Coach Mack. This is
kiss the ring.
Do you want to give him a hug?
No, afterward.
That's a true blessing.
Yes. Yeah. Anytime you can do it.
That was your calling.
Yeah, I loved it. So it's good to be able to actually sit down on a Football Friday with Coach. And the thing that's interesting about me, and this is how we start off our show every time. The thing that is that I want to talk about the most, that I want to like just dive in, because I'm a student of the game with you guys here today. So we're just gonna jump in, and to be able to have Scott here and the history that he had with Coach Mack at the University of Utah and things like that, just to reminisce about some of those things, and then for Alema and I to be able to jam on some BYU stuff, and for once not to be made fun of for more than 2 seconds by Scott.
I don't make fun of you.
Oh, come on. Come on, man.
See how condescending that is? You know,
it's
people
a little,
are like that.
A little condescending. Yeah.
No, we were talking about how USC fans have gotten to the point where they go, isn't it so nice? It's so nice that you guys could be here in L.A., right? Isn't it so nice? We hope you guys have a great time. Notre Dame fans are really good at that, too. So nice for you guys to be here in South Bend.
You have a
Bend.
Really cute little program over
right,
there.
Right. That's
glad
you
yes.
You guys are so nice.
Visit. We
you
got souvenirs for you.
Right.
Hey, it's a little bit like the BYU.
Yeah, there was some of that.
No, I love this. So he calls BYU the BYU.
Because like my mom, yeah.
When they were beating the junk out of us, right, you go to the stadium, good to see you. You're doing such a great job. Your team's really getting better, you know.
And your then, team's getting and then, better.
And then they beat
one,
you by 70.
One game we beat them down there in 93 or 94. You'd have thought I just stole.
Oh, yeah.
That I just stole their blankets.
You did.
You know?
Well, when you beat a team like that and you go up to like say, hey, congratulations. Yeah. They don't know how to say congratulations.
Yeah.
They're like, well, we never lose, you know. And it's just like walk over here. It's the same way, and you just shake our hand.
Look
and
at you.
It's like we don't ever do that.
No, there's some truth to that though. And I played with some kids at BYU that came from a high school program, St. Louis High School in Hawaii, where they never lost the game.
Yeah.
And they're still kind of that way.
Michael Matsuzaki, I still remember, I think we lost to UCLA, and we're in the locker room, and his nickname was Mouse, and he was sitting in the corner, and I came up, I said, hey, man, you okay? And he's like, man, is this what it's like to lose? I'm like, yeah, it's going to happen every now and then.
See, and I have the reverse. I told my kid the other day, I go, you know what? I'm super proud of you guys. They lost. You know, they're out of the playoffs. And he goes, And I said, I'm really proud of you because you've been super good. Like, some kids, they lose, they go in the tank. He goes, Dad, I've lost so much in my life. I go, oh, we put you through. He's like, we've had some bad football programs. I'm used to it. I wouldn't be able to be alive if we had to. I go, yeah, you know what? We got to get you on a winning team, have that feel to see what it's like. So here's what we're going to do on our first Football Friday. Scott Mitchell to my right here. Alema Harrington just across the table. And then Coach Mack. We've got some stuff I want to get to. I've got questions because my immediate thing was I thought, you know what? You guys crossed paths, Coach Mack and Scott, obviously your time at Utah. And I know that you've told your recruiting story before, but Coach Mack was part of that recruiting. I've heard from you before, your side, which is whatever the Scott Mitchell embellished side of things usually is. And so now I want to hear from Coach Mack. I mean, you were on that staff running into his freshman year.
Right.
To get him in there. So were you guys shocked that Scott picked Utah over the BYU and the Stanford?
The BYU. Over the BYU.
Yeah.
Over the Stanford.
Were you guys like, we know this thing's in the bag here. Coach Fossil did his job.
Nothing's in the bag. But I think that Fossil did a really good job of recruiting Scott. And I think he was probably the primary guy. And I really I had a really good relationship with his high school coaches, and they were really, really good people. We've got a lot of good players out of Springville over the years. You know, even I think Trevin was probably the last one up at Weber, and but we've had several good players out of there.
Really, because Scott says there's only one that ever came out of
well, one I can remember. No, but it's really true, It was one of the things that I really appreciated when I was being recruited was because there was Lavelle came to my house right December 1st and he's related to me. I mean there's no reason why I shouldn't have gone to BYU, and so I always thought I was going to go there, but he goes you're our number one recruit, you know, you're I'm in your house, you know, first day I can be in the recruits, and he's like, you come to BYU, you're going to be an All-American. You're going to, you know, you're going to go to a bowl game. You're going to win a conference. You're going to compete to win a Heisman Trophy. And Norm Chow sitting there with him going, yes, you know. And so I'm like, oh, why wouldn't I want to do this? But at Utah, and it was like that. There was a feeling, and I don't think Lavelle wasn't genuine about that, but it was just kind of stating the facts. You know, that's it. And at Utah, these guys were just—they were like, you felt like you mattered.
Yeah.
You felt really important, and Coach Mack was so great at that. I mean, recruiting for you you're a master at it. And that's what I'm really interested in is, you know, you talk about having these relationships with these coaches, but I always felt like just love the players that you were around, and so all the coaches at Utah. I mean, I just fell in love with all of them, and they were. Funny person at George Wheeler was just absolutely hilarious, and you were, I mean, Captain Voodoo.
Yeah,
I don't know if you've ever talked about Captain Voodoo.
Let's hear it.
But Captain Voodoo was like he was a thing, right?
What is Captain Voodoo? What's going on?
Has no one? Have you never talked about this?
No, I don't think so.
What is Captain Voodoo?
Oh my God! Why did you bring that up? So
it was so good.
So we were. When we're playing somebody. Was it
I
BYU?
Think it was BYU.
BYU. Yeah. So I got this Captain Voodoo outfit, right?
What is the outfit, though? What is it? Is it a cape?
You're like a witch doctor of
cape
something.
And stuff, you know?
Yeah, you know. He's a witch doctor.
And then we got this smoke coming in, the table rises like this. Yeah. And, of course, all the African-American guys are scared. Oh my God, the table's rising. And a couple of them right left, you know, they figured that I was a witch or something, you know. And so we had the Captain Voodoo outfit and the table rising.
Was this trying to get people pumped up for the game?
You put a hex on certain
people. I got to ask, this wasn't 88. Did you guys beat us?
No.
Not that year?
I put a hex on the BYU.
I cannot believe that.
But listen, you know what? All this does is just contribute more to the lore of, you know what, BYU's down there praying. You know who Captain Voodoo is? I need to introduce you to him on the University of Utah.
We got Captain Voodoo on one side, and we got the Lord on the other side.
So this is an interesting thing now. See, this is stuff I knew that we were going to find out some stuff. Yeah. Coach didn't know he was going to be talking
about. I didn't even know about this, and I've been doing this with Coach Mack for a while. And Captain Voodoo, I like it.
Well, and I think, yeah. And if I remember right, Gary Anderson's wife is the one who designed the costume.
So how'd you
have sworn an oath to, you know, magic or something like that, but can you tell how did the table rise?
Well, we had a trick where it would rise and the smoke would come out.
Yeah, he can't talk about how it got it to rise. You know, yeah.
It would go like this, and the smoke would come out, and then we're talking in voodoo talk.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, voodoo like, talk, we know. You don't have to explain it to us, like, we know.
Haitian talk, you know.
But that's the thing is, now that's what's great about the University of Utah now is the stadium already had that built in. That was integrated as part of the South End Zone redone. So now they just have the Captain Voodoo table there.
I tell you what, nobody's brought up Captain Voodoo in the last 20 years.
Yeah. There's Scott
except
for you.
Scott.
I was a young, like 18-year-old impressionable kid, you know. Yeah.
He's one of the guys who ran
this
out.
This is what college football is all about.
All right, see, this is insane.
Hey, yeah, definitely.
Well, we'd had a lot of injuries.
Yeah.
And so it was getting the evil spirits out of all these injuries and trying to, but it was also putting it into the BYU players, right? Yeah, it was trying to get the Maliki.
You get them to go the other way, and our guys to go the other way.
Yeah. How'd it work out for those years? Yeah. See, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. I think that
it was fun though.
Yeah. At the very least, that's where you have to bring the recruits.
Hey,
in.
Yeah.
How do you get the recruits to stay?
The look on the guys' faces when the table would rise, smoke would come out. I mean, you look at all that guy.
I got chills thinking about it myself. So here's the part about the interesting thing to me that Scott has brought up before is that he had been people were in. I mean, he left his junior year, one of the rare, like, you didn't see that often.
Not in that era. There
that
weren't
was
a
the
lot
first
of guys,
year.
You know, for that were leaving
right.
early, right? Yeah. And so that was a big deal.
And there wasn't a junior combine. You guys weren't invited to the combine, right?
Yeah,
there was just a junior one.
But it was kind of like last minute. In fact, they had Farm Aid. Remember the Farm Aid?
Yeah,
And so the normal combine is in Indianapolis, and we had to do our combine on the Indianapolis Colts training facility outside. So it was like 30 degrees and snowy, and we're running 40-yard dashes.
Well, see, that's what I'm like. So things were different back then, because now to think of somebody being a junior and coming back in, you know, isn't insane at all. Now we're talking about freshmen and sophomores, you know. But the thing that was interesting to me was I always asked, why didn't you come back for your senior year? And that was something that you obviously were efforting as in your first year as the head coach to try to get this guy who's thrown
so,
all these yards. What happened?
So I had a conversation with he and his dad in my office, right? And, like, I'm rapping, hey, man, you come back and you'd be a higher draft choice and all this stuff.
All the stuff you
got to say. I give them all that stuff. Mm-hmm. And they're not even paying any attention to me. I mean, his dad was, no, we're going out, you know. And
Did you have an agent already?
Yeah, his dad.
Yeah, well, his dad.
Well, I had,
right?
I had my
well,
dad
you had what?
My wife at the time.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You want to talk about an agent.
Hey,
like,
hey, do you know the story about the – okay, so he's at Detroit, right? So they're going to give you a bonus check, right?
Right.
So his wife at that time, this is from players that were playing at Detroit. They said, hey, I was just at that deal with Scott Mitchell. You know, one of the players called me that I knew that.
Yes.
And he said, yeah, they give her the check. His wife could come and walked up and took the check, put it in her pocket, and walked away. Yeah. I said, what?
Is that check out? Is that check out? Is that about right?
Hey, he's not denying it.
No, man. I know. It's interesting, too, because on all this, because there were the two sides, because Scott looks at it later, and there was some massive things that you looked at and you went, yeah, you know what? Looking back on that, would you have changed anything?
Well, you know, it's hard. I can tell you where my mindset was at that time. And for me, it really worked out well in the end. But in the beginning, I thought, boy, this is the worst decision I've ever made in my life. I feel like I really messed up here. And I wished I could have taken it back. And that was when I got drafted. Because there were people, and it wasn't my dad or, you know, people that I got a sense from. They go, you'll be a late first-round draft choice, no later than the second round.
Yeah.
And there were like eight quarterbacks drafted before me. I went in the fourth round. I was behind Dan Marino, who, you know, played never got hurt. So I was, you know, I just like, this was stupid. But I remember being in your office and talking to you. And the reality is, if I'm being completely candid, I felt like I should have stayed in school. It wasn't because I thought I'd get drafted higher. It wasn't because I felt like the rest of my life I was going to be out of college, and I just wanted to finish what I had started and been through, and emotionally, and maybe even in a maturity sense, I don't think I was ready for it. I just wasn't ready to leave and to go do that. Could I do it and could I play? I didn't think about that part of it, but emotionally I didn't. And so I've, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm always like, you know, what if I would have stayed, and how had things turned around different? Because I always had a tremendous respect for you. I mean, you were a great coach. You know, I loved it when you were at Utah and how you treated people, and my heart was at you. You know, I'd committed to it, and so it's always something that's just kind of eating me up a little bit and inside, and you know, and I made my peace with it, whatever, and it all worked. Believe me. I did get that bonus check, and it did work out. Right? So I can't.
Yeah.
I got two or three of them, actually.
He did get the bonus check, but his wife hasn't.
Yeah, I was going to say, still.
He doesn't have it.
And no, then, you know, she hasn't
for,
then
for,
so.
For you, though, Scott. When you,
hey, I like that. And then and some. Then so. Yeah.
But you make that decision.
I think I got body parts.
Hey, how did you get this nice house? Don't worry about it.
I gotta ask, because
we're getting really personal now.
Hey, I've been exposed on national television in a pair of shorts. You can't expose me.
Seriously,
it's like nothing sacred in my life.
But college football is a special thing, and the NFL is what everybody aspires to.
Yeah,
and even when you go from high school to college, it's a different animal, right? And then even more so, obviously, when it becomes a real business in the pros, and to surrender kind of that last year to be in college with those guys, and especially if you go and your rookie season is not everything that you had anticipated it was going to be, right? So did you find yourself in the NFL looking and, you know, following Utah and wishing you were back there?
Do you know what the worst thing to follow was? Was following Ty Detmer.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, that little.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Captain Voodoo over there.
Here you go. So I make this, you know, what I thought was this very meaningful, moving decision to go to Utah. I mean, I'm related to LaVella. You know, I'm LDS. I live in Utah County. I watched every game. You know, I know all these guys. This is. And to go against that, and I felt very strong about it. I still do today. I wouldn't change that at all. But it didn't work out. I mean, the coach got fired, you know, and we had guys go to prison. It just – the program was in a bad spot. I mean, when you took over, it was in a bad place, right?
In a circumstantial spot.
And I think, okay, I'm going to go to the NFL. Great. And then I'm in the NFL going, I'm behind Dan Marino. I'm never going to see the field. Yeah. And all these guys that got drafted before me, I'm like, oh, it was a hard thing to come to terms with. And then Ty Detmer's at BYU, and he's in the
and
spot.
And he's doing all the things that LaVell told you.
Exactly.
This is what's going to happen. You're going to win a Heisman Trophy. You're going to be All-American.
And so in that moment of my life, oh, I was like, this sucks, right? Yeah. I hate where I hate all of this. In fact, I've told Ty, I said, you know, could I rent the Heisman out on the weekend? Or maybe you can take a picture and kind of, you know, because it's mine.
It should have been mine. I love it.
But the reality is that time in my life, man, that made all the difference, because I was like, okay, you can't take it back. You can't go back. Yeah. And you got to make the most of it. So in my head, I was like, I'm coming to the Miami Dolphins to be the starting quarterback for the Miami Dolphins. And they wrote it in the newspaper, by the way, and laughed at me as they wrote it. Because they're like, do you know who's in front of you? You know, but if I didn't have that mindset, you know, as down as I was and disappointed, I would never have made it in the NFL. I never would have made it. I just bought in, sold out, and just said, I'm going to make it work.
It's your first year, Coach, being the head coach. And so did you look at – I mean, I think there were some conversations with Scott.
I think he's still mad at me for leaving.
Was there some of that where you're like, I can't stay – like this guy, his dad, and his wife get
well,
to him?
It was – here you got a really established quarterback who's really a good player, you know, and – you just got to fit people around him. And then he's going to leave. So, you know, but later on, you know, I don't blame him for what he did. It was good for him. It ended up good for his career.
Good for his ex-wife.
Well, you know.
I mean, you brought it up.
Might as well
keep going with
it. I knew his ex-wife. You know, she lived in the dorms over there, if I remember right. Right?
She did. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And I hope I didn't introduce you.
No.
Okay.
I love how that's the thing that he's worried about. So,
I'm just trying to think if I introduced you or not.
I love it.
But I don't think I did. So I can't take any blame for that.
We were. I mean, these are all the conversations. I know these are all the conversations that we were like excited to have with Coach. Now you see why.
Hey, right.
Captain Voodoo was not in the rundown. I mean, that's
Scott brought up Captain Voodoo.
I know you can't make this stuff up.
Look,
this
I was scarred for life after Captain Voodoo.
Well, you know what?
Well, then you start to list off the accomplishments that BYU had after Captain Voodoo in that immediate view. Then I start to think Captain Voodoo didn't work. How dare you? I can't believe it. So there you go.
I mean, you had to have done some crazy things like in your career to motivate players.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah.
What was the craziest one?
Man,
I did
a lot of stuff.
Captain Voodoo's up there.
Captain Voodoo, you know, I think one time I had a string of clothes. If a guy played good, he got this piece of clothes off of, you know. And
these are what we call NIL stuff now. Yeah. So it's good.
So when I was coaching in junior college, I had this big panda bear. Actually at UC Riverside.
Yeah.
I had this big panda bear, right?
Yeah, not a real one, right?
No.
Those are endangered, Coach. Okay. Come on.
Before they were endangered.
Stay with me. Yeah. So we're going to play Fullerton State, right?
Right across town. Yeah, Hate those guys.
Yeah. So there we are, and nobody can find the bear. The bear's missing, right? And so the players refuse to go on the field. And Coach Howard is saying, come on, we got to go. And they're saying, we're not going anyplace till we find the bear. And the bear was in it. Somebody put the bear in the trash can, right?
Oh.
And so they're looking, everybody's looking. They found the bear because everybody was supposed to touch the bear before they went on the field.
Yeah, that
you should have made up the story that the other team had taken the bear hostage.
Yeah, that's
got to get the bear back. Come on, let's go.
I just love the idea of somebody going through cleanup and go, who put a stupid bear in here and throws it away? Yeah. How dare they? We were talking a little bit before. We've got so much going on here. This is our first Football Friday here on Unrivaled on 97.5 1280 The Zone.
Click.
The best college football coverage in Utah is right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Let's go! Hurry up!
The Utes travel to Corvallis for a showdown against the improved Oregon State Beavers as Kyle Whittingham and the Utes look to pick up another Pac-12 win. You're listening to Unrivaled with Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell on 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network.
Billy Idol yesterday, all right? It's fine. Just let me get back to my childhood for once. Would you, Scott? Please. So, Band of the Day brought to you by Live Nation Concerts. For the latest tour news and artist insight, go to livenation.com.
Alex, you're by far the youngest out of this group.
Yes.
Why do you have to say by far? Well, you know what? Actually, you guys are by far way older than me. That's the way I like to put it.
But why did the Utes get a go? Why did the Cougars get a go at 30 and the Utes are at 50?
That's what Scott was trying to yell about during the break.
Right, yeah.
You know what? Somebody has to go first. It's not up to me. Yeah, I put it in the rundown that way, but it's fine. I mean, that's just the way it is.
Well, it's not just the way it is. It's how it should be.
Yeah.
That's how it should be.
Lemon-nailed it.
Let's give it the proper billing. You know, it's like this. Utah, then the BYU.
You put your hand pretty far down there, too, after that.
And then the Weber State.
Okay.
Then the Utah State.
So Utah State gets fourth on the list there for you.
Well, they're the furthest north.
Yeah, that's what he listed off.
But I'm a big Weber guy too.
I know. We know that. We know that history. So we're here at the store, 2050 East and 6200 South. You can come by, hang out, and high five us here. But we have a lot to get through here. We just played that clip of Kalani Sitake saying, "Hey, we got some injuries." I mean, we talked to the play-by-play voice of the Washington State Cougars yesterday, and he said, "We're healthy. The Cougars are not." And when Coach Sitake says, "Yeah, we feel like we're a deep team," that's like the biggest knock on BYU. Certainly in these pre Big 12 era, everyone's going, that's the problem with independence is the depth, right? I mean, yeah, that's the thing that's been the biggest problem for them to try to figure out how to do this. So when he says we feel like we're a deep team, I think that that's an area that Washington State knows that they might have a little bit of an edge on in some of these positions, to say they're not as deep as a Power 5 program.
Yeah, it's different when you're playing in the Mountain West Conference and the Western Athletic Conference back when we were playing, Scott, because, you know, you're recruiting. You have a recruiting advantage if you're BYU against those schools. And then when University of Utah goes to the Pac-12, and then all of a sudden the Pac-12 is coming in and taking a lot of kids out of Utah.
Right.
You start to lose kind of some of the pipelines that BYU had, which are being restored right now, including the one to Hawaii. But
we'll get better with the conference play.
Yeah, and you find yourself in a position where your ones are really good and your twos are good, but they're not great. And if your ones get hurt and you're relying on your twos and you're going up against a team that's in the Pac-12, even if it's Washington State and not, you know, a perennial power in the Pac-12, then you start to be exposed a little bit, I think.
Yeah, and it's kind of what's happening to the Jazz this year, where they have more depth.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about that depth, where over the course of a season, you're not so banged up, you're not so beat up, you know. And if you can have a defensive line, you have a bigger rotation, you can, you know, because I watched that with Utah and how, you know, they've got 6-7 guys that they can rotate through. And so it may be a couple of minutes here or there, but it just over the course of the season, it really keeps people fresh, healthy, and it gets your team playing at a high level, high speed level, all the way throughout the game and throughout the season.
So Utah probably has 10 defensive linemen that can play.
Yeah.
You know, legitimate guys.
Yeah.
And all young, too. Most of them are young players. And the offensive line, they're very deep, too. So they probably got 2.5 strings on the offensive line that are legitimate. And so, and when you watch them, you know, I always like to watch the teams warm up, you know, for the game. I want to see. And I've been impressed with what the bodies look like in Utah. You know, they just look like they're supposed to look. You know, they're in shape, you know, and they got the one freshman, I guess he's a freshman or sophomore D lineman, inside guy. I just call him the Pop, because every time he hits somebody,
it pops him.
Pop!
Yep.
I go out to Bryce, "Hey, you got to watch so-and-so."
Did you hear that? Did you hear the practice voice come out and coach us now, too? It was like that.
So when you would watch guys in warm-ups, like you said, I mean, you looked at their body. Was it just their body, or what kind of things would you look
I'm
for when
for
people?
I'm looking for their hands. I'm looking for what their attitude is, you know, where they're at mentally. You know, and the same thing I did with Arizona State. I watched them in warm-ups. I just want to see where their minds are. And then I watched Arizona State come off the field. I went over and watched them come back into the locker room, and they were ready to play. You know, there was no BS with their coaches. There was no BS with their kids. Their kids were exactly locked in. But, and then I talked to a lot of the Utah coaches before the game. You know, they'd come over and they'd sit down and talk. But they felt really good about that, this particular game, and they felt that they could wear down Arizona State, and eventually Arizona State would slow down.
Which is exactly what happened. I mean, that was the thing, is we saw these guys in warm-up, mm-hmm. and we're watching them, and I'm going, I mean, and from an offensive line standpoint, Devin Cafusi was speaking to us earlier this week, and he goes, they have an extremely good, maybe the most talented offensive line, best graded out offensive line in the Pac-12, right, is Oregon State, who they're taking on this weekend,
right,
and they are a run-first team. But that was the interesting thing they said, was they came in with a different scheme. Every so often, Devin Lloyd's putting his hand in the dirt, which I love to see, because the guy's such a good rusher. He's so smart. But when you have all these, we were talking about these injuries and things like that, and all these guys, we talk about wearing down throughout the game. If the rotation is every guy that comes in could probably be a starter, then obviously there's going to be a massive advantage there. I think on BYU's offensive line, as Coach Satake was just saying as we were coming back here, they've had injuries that have gotten them into a bad spot in some of these plays. I think the Boise State game, there were more injuries problems there than they were probably leading mm-hmm. on. It was definitely more of a problem for them. But Joe Tukoff, who's back, Harris LaChance is back on the offensive line. I mean, everybody wants to see, who are BYU fans, see Tyler Allgeier get another back to that 100-yard club again. And so, and it all starts with those big dudes. So
I think people have been – I'll speak as a BYU fan – And an alum, but, you know, I watch now because I want to see BYU win, right? And so, and I love when BYU has a running back like Tyler Allgeier's, and they you know, have had certainly running backs like that. But I get frustrated when I see the end of the game and the kid's got 15 carries. And I get that some of that is predicated on what the defense is giving you.
Right.
And then you're playing catch up and you're throwing the ball a little bit more.
But he's got 15 carries. Lopini Katoa's got 9.
Yeah.
And you're kind of mixing it up and you're going, hey, man, give somebody 27 carries,
please.
Yeah,
we
please.
Need. Like, yeah, we need. I think BYU needs to, it's got to be a minimum. 20 carries, 25 touches, you know, some way, shape, or form, passing the ball to him or whatever the case may be. But that's a kid that is a hard-nosed runner. And if you have injuries on the offensive line, then, of course, it impacts that. Nobody is so good of a running back that they can do it without an offensive line. You need that. But that's been the frustration for the last couple of weeks, I think, for BYU fan, is watching this team being unable to run the ball.
Yeah.
And when your offense looks like that and you've got multiple 3-and-outs that you're dealing with, for the observer, for the fan that's watching the game, it starts to get frustrating. It's like, man, how come we can't move the ball?
What I want to know, the running's boring.
We're going to have this, I think, a lot.
Hey, but I want to get back. I want to get back to watching these guys in warm-ups. Right? I can't get past this. Did you tell, like, could you tell, you go, all right, watch them, and not just the other team, but your own guys.
Right.
Could you go, oh, we're gonna get it handed to us today, or, you know, or our guys are ready to, like, I could just see it in warm-ups. Like, and could you tell if you're going to win or lose just by watching guys in warm-ups?
Yeah. I get a feel. I always get a feel for the opponent by how they warm up, what they're doing, and how they're possessing the ball when they catch it. And how they're going about things. Are they really locked into what they're doing, or are they just out there messing around? You know, and where's the attitude of their coaches? So you try to look and see where everybody is and what they're, if they're locked in and what they're doing, or they're just going through their motions, or are they ready to play?
Did they have tells? Like, you go, when you say the attitude of the coaches.
Well, a lot of times you look to see, are there a lot of guys walking around?
Oh.
In other words, when they're coming off the field, is everybody running off the field in the locker room, or is 20% of the guys running and the other 80% just kind of walking?
And see, on
and
the
I don't,
hop.
I don't
on
know how
go.
It was for you, Alema, yeah. But for me, like when I played, like warming up was kind of, you know, it's just you had this routine, you had this rich, and it's like I got to go through it, and I got to go through it this way, and there's a tempo, there's a pace, there's a mindset to everything. And I would go in and go, whew, man, I gotta get over this today. I gotta figure it. Things just don't feel right today.
I think you're right. And for all players, there's a level, and there's going to be days when you're just not feeling it. Coach was talking about this before last week on Friday, looking at Arizona State. Are they coming up and they're warming up, or they're like, oh, it's cold in here? You know, just like, because they're coming from obviously, you know, a warm state. And sea level, and then coming up to the altitude, you wonder how much of that is in their heads, and have they already beat themselves by you know, focusing on things that are out of their control.
So I want to get into something when we come back here. We're going to take another break here on a Football Friday. Coach Ron McBride, Alema Harrington right here. Unrivaled, Alex Keery, Scott Mitchell right here with you on 97.5, 1280 The Zone. We are at the store. It's 2050 East and 6200 South right here in Holiday. You can come down, hang out, high five Scott. We're going to come right back. We've got more to go. I want to see what Coach feels about this Nick Rolovich situation up at Wazoo.
Rolo.
And how he would deal with this week with his players with the same circumstances. So much more to go right here. We are right here, unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Your home for the best college football coverage in Utah. This is your Utes at 50 update on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hey, this is the Utes at 50 update on the Zone Sports Network. Coach Witt's going to give you your thoughts about a beast of a player, Devin Lloyd, and tell you why he's so amazing.
He plays within the structure and the framework of the defense, but we utilize him in a lot of different ways. You saw us bring him off the edge quite a bit so far this season. What makes him a good football player is just a myriad of things. He's got great size. You know, he's nearly 6'3", just pushing 240 pounds. He runs like a deer. He's instinctive. He's got a long wingspan. You know, you see him tip balls quite often, particularly on the pass rush. He's got his hands on two or three balls this year. He's a playmaker. He's a guy that when there's a play there to be made, he almost always makes it. He is an absolute football junkie and student of the game. He watches as much film during the course of a week as anybody we've ever had here.
Utes at 50 brought to you by Built Bar. Double chocolate, peanut butter brownie, or salted caramel. 100% real chocolate, 100% real delicious. Order yours today at Built.com and save 10% if you enter the zone at checkout. Built Bar.
This is unrivaled. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery. With the access and insight on the teams you're passionate about.
I love it, baby.
This is 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Folks, welcome back. It is unrivaled on 1280.
I love how you have to like look at this.
97.5 The Zone. I don't know. It's like KSL something somewhere in there.
Right, it's not. It
KSL really not. Sports is powering go. This whole fiasco that there we have go. Going on right here. We got Captain Voodoo. We got the BYU guys and the Cougar guys and the Ute guys. And
this feels right. Hey,
are we getting along here? I'm so Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Keery. Welcome back, everybody.
Coach McBride, you had a question you had, and I was like, let's do it on the air, or unless it was inappropriate.
Well, no. The question I asked is you know, Washington State with Rolo.
Yeah.
You know, and the interesting thing is I think four of the seven were guys with him in Hawaii. I know that Weber was with him and the D-line coach was with him.
Stutzman was with
Stutzman
him, too.
Stutzman was with him. So, you know, they're all in the same boat.
Yeah, and I know Coach Weber was down at BYU for a second.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's interesting, too, because we were talking about this, and this is something I wanted to – I was like, I cannot wait to jump into. And Scott even brought up and goes, this is what we get into with Coach and go, one, what an insane week it would be with these kids. You know, right. We say these kids, but, I mean, like, in the end, these guys recruit so many of these dudes here and to come play for them, and they obviously love them. Because last week people were asking them questions. They're like, don't dog Rolo, man. This is, we love this guy. We love him. We love our coaches. They weren't thinking that they were being betrayed in any way. And so now this happens, and then they end up letting these guys go at the beginning of the week, and we all our jaws drop going, how on earth does this work? And then you how would it operate, Coach? Because during the week we asked Jaron Hall that at BYU, and he goes, I don't know, I guess the captains start taking over. And there's a handful of GAs that are taking over. You're shifting guys around who are doing other position groups, and they become suddenly the defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator. So
In the run and shoot offense that Washington State runs that he brought with him from Hawaii, you know, so there's a lot of things in the offensive line play that you have to pick up because they give you a lot of different looks to get people free on pass rush and to make sure the gaps are taken care of. So the offensive line coach has to really be on top of his program, anticipating, you know, what he's going
to
see.
Does that change, like, from week to week? Like, so you're all, you know, every team you play, it's going to give you a different look. And
well,
so
they're going to give you some – they're going to give you some variation of what they're – you know, what
– right.
But usually if you see a spread team week in and week out, then you kind of know, okay, this is how they're going to defend the spread. But then what you always look for if you're on a defensive side, okay, what blitz – do we have in here where we're going to get where we're going to have at least one guy freed up, you know, to put pressure and make the guy throw before he has to? Because everything in the run and shoot is based on timing, and you're basically you're looking at half the field, you know, and so it all came from Mouse Davis, you know, it's where it started back 40 years ago or whatever it was. I tell you.
Mouse Davis worked me out before the combine.
Did he?
Yeah.
Hey. I worked with Mouse a few times, some arena when he was doing some. I had some arena stints, and when he was in Hawaii too.
You know what he said when he was in Detroit coaching the quarterbacks? He goes, "You're my number one guy. You're my number two guy. You're my number three guy. We're gonna go with you until you get hurt, because you're gonna get hurt, and then you're the number one guy, and then you're the number two, and you're gonna get hurt, number two guy, and then we'll go with you until you get hurt." And then at that point, we don't know what
now,
we're going
to tell
do.
Me your names. Like, that's what it ends up being.
Every time I hear Mouse Davis' name, I can't help that. I have that.
He was the mastermind, though, of the run and shoot.
That spread.
And June Jones took that and you know,
elevated
obviously,
it.
Well, you know, broke the Bowl Alliance and went to the Sugar Bowl. And if you're running it right and you have the right quarterback, right, and Rolo was a quarterback, and that's the beautiful thing about Rolo and Stutt. The offense coordinator, they both played in that system. And I don't know that you can really coach that system if you haven't played in it.
Yeah.
So we were talking about whether or not whatever the motivations were and whatever political point that they wanted to make, we were waiting for them to make it. No one said anything. So in the end, what happens with these kids? I mean, do you think that later in the week they probably thought, you know what, we do feel a little bit betrayed here. Then he sues the school later in the week. What would be going on in the mind of your kids if you guys walked out, Coach? Like, if guys you're about to start a game with?
Well, first of all, I'd have got the shots.
Yeah, I mean, that's,
I think everyone would. We're having a hard time understanding.
I don't care what I believed in. Hey, my first responsibility is through those kids that play the game. I mean, before anything else. In other words, as a head coach or as a position coach, I mean, I couldn't look at, say, 12 offensive linemen and say, I'm not getting a shot, so, you know, SU guys, and I'm, you know, they're going to probably fire me, but I'm standing up for what I believe in.
Yeah.
And then what I'm saying is I believe in you as players, and I'm going to do whatever I have to do to be able to coach you.
That's interesting.
If I got to get a shot to coach you, I'll get a shot to coach you.
So what do you think would have more impact? Because, you know, here as players are saying, hey, we're behind you because you're standing for something. I still don't know what he's standing for, but he clearly feels like it's something that's important. I mean, he's giving up millions of dollars. He's giving up these relationships. You know, a lot is online.
Well,
what would you stand up for? What's more important?
First of all, Rolovich is a pretty deep thinker. You know, just when he was hiring a guy last year, right? And so I was on the phone with him and I think Stutzman and the line coach. And we continue, you know, and so he interviewed like 29 guys for one job. And I said to the line coach, why is he interviewing 29 guys? He could get it down to three before he started and take one of the three. What are you interviewing 29 guys for? And this guy, he's a very slow mover on, and it's just like when he hired the offensive line coach in Hawaii. So I'm talking to the line coach. Says, yeah, I interviewed with him 3 weeks ago, and they keep, but he hasn't hired anybody. But I'm still there, you know. And so eventually they took him, right? But he's one of these guys that kind of thinks about what he's going to do. He has his own reasons for what he does, and he takes his time doing it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see what he – like, I think everyone's waiting to hear from him. Aside from just, you know, saying that they're going to sue the school, it was like everybody's kind of waiting to hear what the explanation is going to be. And maybe he already did it with the kids personally, but I know some people in that program who were like, he didn't say anything. He left campus immediately and other coaches maybe stopped by, high-fived some of the players, said, we love you. This isn't about anything against you. But
they wouldn't let him actually talk to the players.
They wouldn't let him talk to the players?
Yeah, probably not. Yeah, he said, yeah, but it's kind of like, well, you're in the NFL. If you get fired in the NFL, they just take your keys.
Oh, yeah,
And lock you out. Yeah. And then you don't come in, you know.
Then you really can't talk to the players, yeah.
No. So, you go
well,
in.
If you get fired as an NFL coach, you don't really want to talk to the players.
Well, you're out of there anyway, yeah.
It's like, you're the reason that I have this problem.
All right, so we've got much more to talk about in regards to this. We're speaking with Scott here at the Scott Niederhauser is the general manager of the store here. Two locations, the one we're at today where you can get the Zone Special, 2050 East and 6200 South. There's also a location at the Gateway Mall, but we've got the pizza oven rolling, Scott, which is like the signature for the weekend man. And it's hard to focus with these beautiful smells traveling through the parking lot here.
Yeah, we got to get some more pizzas over here for you guys for sure. But, yeah, people love the pizza. I mean, we've been doing it for a little over a year now, and I mean, we make everything, you know, it's all just fresh, ready to go. They're really awesome pizzas, so we're proud of it.
The pizzas are great, and if you want to come by, there's a special. There's a Zone Special. You can come get it today. You get a half dozen of those jumbo wings, a pizza that fresh oven that we were just talking about, and a 32-ounce drink for $12.80. So you come up to the store up here at 2050 East and 6200 South, and you can get that deal. But also one of the things we were talking about was now's a good time to come in and go, hey, man, I don't want to cook a thing for the holidays. I want to make it pro. And the store can do it for you. You can start ordering stuff right now.
Totally. We just, I mean, that's, I was just inside before I came on here. We're taking orders for turkeys right now. So just come see us, and we got everything ready to go. Pre-made dinners. Just, you can pick it up Thanksgiving morning. We'll have it in a bag for you.
You need to order your turkey early this year?
We've got a surprising amount of orders already coming through. Yeah, but, I mean,
I've heard that there's.
We've got all our turkeys confirmed. So it's, you know, like. You don't have to do it right now, but people are ahead of the game right now. I think everyone's getting ready because you never know.
Will you be offended if people say that they cooked it and it's their food and not yours? I mean,
that's what we're here for. You can
take
these wings home. You smoke them yourself, whatever, but it works. Ribs, everything. So.
You get it all done here at the store. You can come in right now while we're here all the way up till 6 o'clock. You can get yourself the deal, the 1280 deal here. The Zone Special is six of these jumbo wings, a pizza, 32-ounce drink. All for $12.80. So come up and see him right here. 2050 East, 6200 South. It's the store.
You put the happy back in your relationship.
Utah's sports leader. This is KZNS AM Salt Lake City.
KZNS FM Colvin. 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
And The Zone Sports Network.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It is Unrivaled right here on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network, powered by KSLSports.com. Ron McBride, legendary coach, right here in front of us. And then Alema Harrington also at the table bringing this is so much fun to get to know you guys better. It's only been an hour. And we've already been breaking.
But it's already been a lifetime.
It already has.
Hey, so this is the first time he hasn't wore his big BYU shirt.
You want me to rep next week? Should we rep the Y next week?
We'll rep next week. Hey, and it won't because BYU won. Because he'll say, oh, see, when BYU wins, and then you have all the BYU stuff on.
So you
the
know,
BYU.
So I always say, well, when the BYU was running hot, everybody was wearing the BYU. You walk in, somebody, the BYU shirt looks like three times
it's
the
huge.
Size of anybody. Yeah. And now it's kind of dwindled down.
The oval Y's become more conspicuous. Is that what you're saying?
All right. Do you think you can actually, like, cheer for the other school? With all sincerity.
Well, I totally respect BYU's program. And totally respect.
Now that sounds condescending. I really respect that little nice program you got going on there.
No.
I think it's nice. You got a nice little group of young coaches, up and comers.
It changes.
And you guys warm up really nice.
You know what?
Warm up really nice.
Hey, that's what those dudes used to do down there. They pat you on the back. You know, you guys are doing
getting better every year.
Yeah, you guys
are looking good.
You guys are looking good. Yeah.
You know, I used to really have this aversion to the University of Utah.
Yeah.
Like, really couldn't.
Aversion?
Aversion. I still don't have any red in my wardrobe.
Yeah.
But it got to the point, and here's where it changed for me, and it might change for you. I don't know if it has or not, Scott.
Well,
Well, apparently, I'm the BYU homer on this show, by the way.
Well, wait.
We've been told that.
Maybe it might be Chase for Scott.
Well, I'm just saying. The
Scott
reason
does the play-by-play for Utah
football. I'm just saying, but you can still look over to the other side and go, oh, look, there's Kalani Sitake.
Yes.
I really like him.
Isn't he a
right?
nice guy?
Or you
no,
can,
listen.
You
I'll
can
be
look
the,
over and I can say, hey, you know, my, I played with Handley, with his dad.
Right.
You know, and so you start to have these kind of overlaps and guys that are playing for the other team now or their kids are playing for the other team, and you can't help but, you know, kind of root for those kids. And
yeah.
in some way, I guess,
but
rooting for the
I
University
think part
of
it's Utah.
Been. We were talking before, and you said in 88 when we beat you,
yeah.
it was your senior year.
Oh, yeah.
Utah hadn't won in 10 years, and you were crying. Like it no,
see,
but I had to cry
I know
every
what
year.
You're the, Alex, now I understand what you're talking about yeah, with yeah. the embellishment.
We were talking
I
about this
I never said
before.
I was crying,
because
Scott.
We were talking about
I
how
I never
this,
said I was well, crying.
We were talking about how your family disowned you after the yeah. whole thing.
Hey,
what happened?
I think that's a true story.
He told me this story.
And now he's denying he was crying.
I know.
I never said I was crying. I said my father flew to Utah to come watch me play. It was the last game of my senior season before. Actually, we still had the bowl game. And I think we played at Miami.
Scott's like a what? What did you call those?
We never saw bowl games when I was in college.
And so, yeah, when Scott came this afternoon, I said, yeah, you know, remember, you know, you guys beat us up. And they did. I mean, Scott was fantastic in that game. But I still remember just kind of the depression of my dad being there and going back to the hotel where they were staying after and trying to be excited. I mean, you bring your parents up for a game that it's like homecoming. You're supposed to win that game.
Right. Yeah.
We've got some.
So you didn't cry. I don't want to say things you didn't do. You were upset. It was emotionally.
Well, you did. You did make a statement. He cried.
Yeah.
But you can't take it back. Right.
I just want to get it right.
I'm going to write it down. I'm going to put down in pencil. I'm going to probably cry. Is that okay if I put it down?
I may
like
have
Look,
cried.
Right. But my point is, like, I hated BYU.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you.
Yeah.
I get it.
No,
like,
yeah.
Like, and it's because of that, you know, that. That false sense of niceness that you get because you know that they're like you guys were better than
yeah.
us and you knew you were better and we knew you were better right and I used to hate because the rivalry week would come up and all the old players from BYU they'd interview them and they go yeah we Utah's not our rival, like it's just another game for us, it doesn't mean anything mm-hmm. It doesn't matter to us
yeah.
at all. And that was just the most insulting thing to me I could ever hear from someone. And now I'm saying it.
Yeah.
Right?
Well,
I'm
but this
BYU,
is what,
BYU's not.
Yeah, but you can't say it anymore because we've won one in a row. And we're on our way. We won't play for the next 2 years.
Yeah,
that's 3-0 over the next 3 years.
Yeah, you can live with that for 3 years.
I love one in a row. Like, that doesn't make any sense, like, logically. How many? If my kid said, how many clothes you pick up? I picked up one in a row, man.
If we'd have had Cam Rising at the beginning of the year, we would have won.
Oh, see, I love this. See, Scott already gets the fan talk down.
And if we would have played you guys last year with Zach Wilson, we would have won.
That's
you might be right.
Right
well, we can't replay that game. It never happened.
But,
right.
Coach, you got to go along with the fan logic. Come on, it makes no sense, but it's still fan logic. So what we're one thing
can
we're
you really do. I guess can you?
But
really
let me
be
say with Scott, as it pertains to Scott, he will 100% break down. Man, BYU is great at this. Man, look how good. I'm like when they have those upsets. Scott's like, this is great because all these things are one great for the pro, great for the state.
Yeah.
I mean, when everybody's winning, it actually is amazing for us. But at the same time, honestly, the perspective that Scott brings in is like, dude, I played in the pros, man. Like, I'm not as hung up on that. I mean, that's what I've noticed with Scott is like, he's not as hung up on it, and I think a lot of people do, and they want him to be more. They wanted to be more fired up about the rivalry, but the reality is that for me, I didn't grow up with the rivalry because I'm not from Utah. But when I went to BYU, even then, I couldn't get the same flavor because the people who grew up in American Fork, that guy who grew up in American Fork and is like, I've always hated Utah, and the guy who you know, is up at the University of Utah, going to Utah, wearing a BYU sweatshirt that you see periodically, and you go,
"That's
what
a
is
rare
going?
Thing, Alex."
It is, but I saw it at BYU in the reverse too.
Yeah.
So there's always some stuff that you go, "I don't know how to explain this," but I don't think that people really can 100% go that direction though and be that happy for them.
See, like, I like it when we hate each other.
I do too. I like the rivalry to be heated, and I like for the rivalry to you know not get too out of hand, but you know maybe you paint bomb somebody you know their mailbox or something. I don't know.
Okay, we were doing a show 4 or 5 years ago, right on game day. It was our pregame show for BYU back when I was on the broadcast team, and they had poured red paint on top of the Cougar down at Cougar Stadium, and the red paint is on top of the Cougar, and they had found all this red paint all over the Cougar, and we're doing our broadcast right in front, and they're trying to clean it up, you know, because it's game day and it's Utah BYU, and they're trying to clean it up, and I said what happened? They go, yeah, just some guys came over the middle of the night, dumped a bunch of red paint on that Cougar in front of LaValle Edwards Stadium.
How did that happen? It wasn't wrapped up.
But that's the thing is they took the wrapping off, and then he goes, it's the one right in front of the stadium, big one.
I know.
Yeah, the
So he goes, so it's all red, and I said, well, what happened? They go, well, we caught him about 2 blocks from here. Well, where were they? He goes, they were in their car, red paint all over them, right?
And he said, got caught red-handed.
This is like 6 years ago, and I said, well, what'd you guys do to him? The police officer was telling me, he goes, we let him go. It's fine. It is what it is. We gave him, like, some trespassing, like, warning, you know? But the cop said, he goes, we need more of this kind of stuff. Yeah. When I went to BYU and all the statues were wrapped, I go, Utah got us, dude. They wrapped all the statues. They got us. And then they were like, no, that's how they protect him. I go,
We had guys that actually went down to paint the Cougar red, guys on our team.
They guard the Y.
In 87.
Man, I'm surprised to hear that story because the BYU police were a little harder on me than they were on this
harder
group.
On you for what?
That's for another time.
Well, that's what I was going to say. They should have called the Honor Code office. They would have really gone after these guys. So
is the Honor Code office named after you?
Well, memorial. I know exactly where it is.
Lemma Harrington.
The Memorial Honor Code office.
You know, hey, so down there they rat each other out.
You don't have to tell us, Ron. We know about it. You don't have to tell us, Coach.
People told me that's why I didn't go to BYU because for the honor code.
Yeah. Well,
no, you were good.
Yeah.
Well, he was one of the good ones, right? Yeah.
You would have fit right in at BYU.
I was very BYU.
Yeah, you were.
Hey, leave him alone.
You maybe would have won that Heisman Trophy.
Well, yeah. So we're sitting here with a Heisman Trophy guy.
Potentially.
The Heisman Trophy guy.
Ty Detmer stole from him.
Right.
Yeah. And so we got a lot of closets here.
Yeah, there's a lot more to bring up. I want to get to this Utah-Oregon State game, though, because
– well, I'm going to call
– No, Detmer. Go ahead, Coach. I want to hear what you're saying.
I'm going to call Detmer after the show and say, hey, could you send the Heisman Trophy up here?
Yeah.
And I'm going to give it to Scott Mitchell.
Just walk through the athletic department at BYU. They got the secondary one. You could go over and take a picture.
Yeah, go to Legacy Hall.
That's what my kids do, too.
I'll go in there and paint it red. How about that?
That's really good.
This is mine.
Just on the weekends.
Just put my number on it.
Yeah, on red. The weekends. I want to get to quick because we're going to do a little bit more of it today, too. It's a football Friday, so we might as well talk about some of the football going on.
Good idea.
We broke down a little bit of that Wazoo and BYU game and how injuries could affect or may not affect how this is going to go, the coaching change. I don't know if that's going to be something that fires the team up. They're going to band them together a little bit more. I know that BYU's coaching staff is going, we had games without coaches last year that you guys didn't even know about.
Yeah.
And we whooped up on some of those teams. Those were some of our best games because we didn't have the coaches in there. And I thought, I don't know if it's the same situation, though. In this case, with Oregon State and Utah, you've just got a full-on, no distractions there. The coaching staff there. We interviewed Jonathan Smith at Pac-12 Media Day. He's one of the most he's super down-to-earth. He's very just chilled out. And, again, you talk about a quarterback play at Oregon State. His team runs the dang football a ton. They're going to have to this weekend. They're expecting a ton of rain tomorrow. Is it tomorrow? Yeah. They're expecting a ton of rain tomorrow. When you call that game there, Scott. But if Oregon State gets running downhill, do they have what it takes to actually beat Utah?
No. Because Utah's strength is in the defensive front and the linebackers. And – so I don't see them being able to run the ball downhill against that defense. But the rain does make a difference. It rains there all the time. So I spent – when Gary was first up there for the first two seasons, so I did – I was like an analyst for him. So I'd go up spring and then in the fall and it rained every day. There wasn't a day up there that, whether it was in the spring or the fall, where it didn't rain. I'm thinking, does it ever stop raining?
And the answer is no, they were by like, the way.
We didn't even know it was raining, you know, because they're just so used to it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just, you know, just put on your rain gear and go out and do your thing.
You're pretty confident about this game for the Utes. Now, I'm picking the Utes this is my thought. They'll win the South. They could win the whole thing. This could be the Rose Bowl year. I think this is the Rose Bowl year for them, especially with Cam Rising and if he stays healthy.
Let's not get too far ahead.
See, this is that superstitious stuff. Scott does it, too.
But you're so confident that they're going to beat Oregon State. That is a tough place to play.
No, it's not.
I want to hear more of this.
They're playing well, so their fans are even more fired up.
Their fans, hey, I've been in that stadium at least for at least 7 or 8 games, and you can't even hear the fans.
The fans are very chilled.
Listen, this is a stadium that's named potato salad.
And they're pretty far away. The booth.
Yes, they are.
You know, so the fans have nothing to do with the game, so don't even go there. The rain might have more to do with the game
than the fans.
I just love it.
They have a bye week, so Oregon State has a bye week. How much of an advantage is
it? I love to play after a bye week because you've had more time to prepare. You got time to get all your guys healthy. It's a big advantage. I think percentage of over my career of losing a game after, I bet we won something like 92 or 93% of games after a bye week.
That's what I was wondering, is that if you're dinged up and you're going into a bye week, that's like, you know, that's one thing we talk with all the players who they go into these bye weeks and they go 100%, they just want everybody to get right? That's a week of just, you know, we're going to go a little bit lighter on the practices. We'll get into game prep mode next week, but get right this week. And if you're able to get guys right, then there's that. And then they also got to watch a little bit of extra film on Utah against Arizona State this past weekend. And that was, Scott, I don't know if I'm speaking out of school here, certainly the second half was it their best half of football this season, that second half?
In my opinion, it was a perfect half of football. They didn't punt. They had long drives. I mean, 75 yards was the shortest drive they had, and they had and they scored touchdowns. Mm-hmm. You know, it wasn't kicking field goals. It wasn't, you know, turning the ball over on downs. Nothing. And then the defense just absolutely shut out. Arizona State. It's a very good football team, and it was fascinating to watch because Arizona State, it was like they didn't have an answer. They couldn't have an answer. They were just so perplexed by what was happening. And for me, as I've watched Utah, it's been more about a lot of really good young talent. Like, they're really talented. And the most talent probably that's ever been in the program. But they're all young. And so it's you get in these situations for kind of the first time, you know, and the only way you get experience is to go through it. So this young team is like playing well and learning how to play well, learning how to win and learning how to use their talents and learning how to work together, and they're winning in the process, but they're also just maturing. I mean, you know, you think this year is a Rose Bowl year. Utah may be better next year than they actually are this year. I mean, there's really a lot to be excited about. I want to go back to the bye week thing, though. How much time did you spend on yourself? At the opponent and all that stuff. But
you reanalyze every. You go through the computer, reanalyze everything offensively. What are you showing that people are predictability? You know, all that stuff, and so you take a look and see what your weaknesses are, and you work on your weaknesses, and if you have to change a player around, maybe you got a corner you need to move to safety, or you got an offensive lineman you're trying to bring him along, or a wideout, somebody you got a chance to get the guy better, or if the guy's having problems, you got a chance to get him better, and you got a good chance to look at your weaknesses and try to make your weaknesses become less of a weakness.
Would you ever make, like, wholesale changes?
No.
Like where you go, you know, we're a four-down team and we're going to switch to a three-down look?
No.
Or we're...
No, because you start screwing with guys' heads, you know, and all of a sudden, yeah, we're gonna do this because it covers every gap. And
yeah, but you got Captain Voodoo, man. Get their heads back right.
He's like, I'm not going to do something crazy to try to get in their heads. And then Captain Voodoo comes back here. Oh, yeah, maybe I did, actually. No, just not in the scheme and not in, you know, doing anything crazy when it comes to the, you know, the actual setup of how you guys do games.
And I've seen, over the years, I've seen people do that. You know, after a bye week, all of a sudden you come out with something.
Try to change that identity suddenly.
And I tell you what, we did it at Arizona. We were a wishbone team, and so we went to we had a bye week. And UCLA the year before had killed us, right? Because they spread everything out, and they worried more about the pitch off the option and all that stuff. So we went to Colorado, myself and the coordinator, to look at the eye bone stuff. And in the eye bone, you're still schematically using the same schemes, but it's a little different. And so all of a sudden, you're more predicated to an inside run. So we go up there for 3 days. We come back, and I think it was on a Thursday, changed the offensive scheme.
You're now an eye bone team. So
an eye bone team, yeah. So we UCLA, we go to play them. They got it. They got all their people out on the edges, and we're running ISO, counter ISO, you know, things like that. Beat them 45-12.
Didn't they outlaw the wishbone offense? Aren't those offenses outlawed these days?
You can't wishbone, do those. It's illegal.
I tell you what, I love to coach that offense because it's a smash mouth, and you get a lot of decleaters, and if you got good linemen, you get to knock people around a lot, and so it's a fun offense to coach.
You know, it's nowadays, yeah. It's so much different, right?
Defensive linemen hate that. I mean, they hate going against the – I mean, for defenses, it's hard anyway because it's all assignment sound and defense to sometimes that defensive mentality lends itself to the freelancer, right, the guy that's out there and kind of and goes rogue and goes on his own and does different stuff. And so it can be a nightmare to go against if guys don't stay in their lanes. But, you know,
not lanes, it's called gaps.
Gaps, stay in your gaps.
It's not a lane. A lane is like right there where you park your car.
See, I thought a gap was what was between Michael Strahan's teeth. But
oh, my God.
See, I told you.
Let's not be critical of Michael Strahan.
Well, no, he owns it.
They offered to change it, but they didn't end up.
It's trademark.
Why does he fill in the gap?
Because it's worked for him. It's just part of the – it's like my gut. It's just part of the package now, and people expect it, so that's why I keep it around too.
Is that why I limp? I limp is part of
yeah,
my
that's limp. Part of your. It's part of your identity. People need it, and so
well,
that's
there
why.
He is limping again.
Yeah, it comes across. We are here at the store at 2050 East and 6200 South, right here in Holiday. We are super excited to be here because I just walked around the store and noticed all the pre-made stuff that's already.
Your home for the best college football coverage in Utah. This is your Cougars at 30 update on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, Cougars at 30 update right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Kalani Sitake talking about his team being ready to roll up there on the Palouse against Wazoo this weekend.
Really good opponent in Washington State. We're on the road again, so looking forward to getting back out there and seeing fans in a different region of the country. Looking forward to the matchup. They're coming off of some wins. They're playing really good football right now, and see what they're doing on offense, defense, and special teams. They're very explosive, well-coached team, so it'll be a tough match for us. We need to be ready to roll.
Cougars at 30 update brought to you by Marley's Gourmet Sliders, whether it's the classic Rickster, Killer, Handsome Rob, Pastrami, Fajita, or killer breakfast burritos. Don't forget about those shoestring fries. They're the best out there. Go to Marley's Gourmet Sliders. That'll satisfy any hunger just off I-15 inside of Timpanogos. Harley Davidson.
The best college football coverage in Utah is right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Let's go! Hurry up!
BYU hits the road for a chance to pick up another win against the Pac-12 as the Cougars square off against Washington State and Pullman.
Zut!
You're listening to Unrivaled with Alex Keery and Scott Mitchell on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, welcome back. It's another edition of Unrivaled right here. Day number three of the show on 97.5 1280 The Zone. We've moved over from KSL News Radio, and we are here, and we are super excited to be at the store today, 2050 East, 6200 South. An absolute dream to be sitting in front of Ron McBride, the coach. Alema Harrington, also alongside, who I love to jam with about the BYU stuff. You don't get a lot of sympathy around this particular neighborhood either. Yeah. All right, this is like my old stomping grounds. And definitely, it's tough to find the blue flags flying around here. You
got
to
go beyond the point of the mountain.
Oh, come on! I had my steam.
Really, you just have to go to Provo.
We moved in. We had a snowman that we built one year when we first moved up here to East Salt Lake City area, and got beheaded overnight. The Steve Young snowman got beheaded.
Yeah.
Man, Coach McBride goes, "Yep, that's what we do. That's what we do up here. No problem. No problem."
Hey, there's a point. It's a blue and a red. It's right there where the prison is. And a lot of those guys from BYU were in that prison.
Okay, come on. Coach, I think we established it. While Scott was at Utah, there were some guys who ended up in jail, man.
I didn't say that we were clean one owner.
No. Clean one owner.
But I was down there speaking at the prison a few years back. A couple of dudes come up to me. Coach, remember me? And I said, vaguely, he says, yeah, I played second base at BYU, and I was a wide receiver, and the other guy was a wide receiver.
Well, they were all BYU guys. So yeah. Well, that's when you go, no.
I said, well, where's all the Utah guys? They said, well, they're up the road a little bit.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's jail, there's prison. You might have to separate them
that
way.
These guys were in the real prison.
In the full-on. Well,
they're soon to get out. I mean, they're on the street.
Sure.
Now,
yeah. Right? No, they're there. I think they've turned it all around. Yeah. It's like the Utah program against BYU the last 9 years, 9 in a row, and then got knocked off this year. It was a real shame to see.
Yeah, it was really so. I felt tough. So bad for the University of Utah.
So you might have heard the Pearl Jam on the way back in because it's our band of the
one
day.
One in a row, baby.
One in a row.
I got T-shirts. You want to buy one?
Yeah, I will buy a one in a row. I would actually buy one.
The BYU.
Yes, I love the BYU.
Or we could do the one where I'm pumping your gas. What's that dude's name?
I can't remember. Who was the pumping your gas?
Yeah, Lenny
guy?
Gomes.
Lenny Gomes. That's
he's
right.
got a different then, name now, but Lenny Gomes. I played with Lenny.
That's right.
Hey, yeah.
So Lenny called me when I was a head coach. He said, "Hey, you need a GA." And he said, "I said, pumping the gas guy wants to be a GA.
Wants to be the GA." Absolutely. It always has to be that way. Hey, let me get out to a quick. A Dow update here, a little market update for us here as we go through the day here. I know you guys were watching. I know you guys have been trying to figure it out, but Dow up right now, 73 today, locked out almost a third of a percent up. And then, of course, you've got so much that we're watching on this thing. And at the end of a Friday, we're glad to get to the end of it here. 35,677 is what it closes at. That market update brought to you by TryDayTrading.com. Now anybody can be a day trader. Visit TryDayTrading.com. Also, we had the Pearl Jam rolling into the segment. You know why? Because I got the pick.
Yeah.
And that's fine. Look, if you can't jam along with some Pearl Jam, Scott, just let it flow over you next time.
You don't have to justify yourself.
Let it flow over. Let it flow over you. Okay?
Own Pearl Jam. It's fine.
Band of the Day brought to you by Live Nation Concerts. The latest tour news and artist insights. Go to livenation.com. Coach, there's so many things we want to jump into. I want to know if you guys kind of got it all out there then, because Scott was like, "I'm going to show up there. I want to know if Coach forgave me for not coming back for my senior year. Are we all good?"
Yeah, well, I forgave him.
Oh, okay, all right.
Jesus, how many years ago was that?
Well, so when I moved back to Utah in 2009, I was at a Utah game and Lavelle was at Coach okay. Edwards, and we were doing this thing for the Heisman Trophy of all things. And so it's like this.
What were you doing there? Who invited you?
I think he did, just to kind of rub it in a little bit. And so we're at this little event, it's before the game, and he comes up to me, he says, "Scott, it's good to see you again." He says, "I just want you to know that like 2 years ago, I finally forgave you for not coming to be one of you.
Oh, my.
So he held on to it for quite a few years. Well, but you got to have some grudges.
Absolutely.
There, don't you?
Are Coach, there guys who got away? Coach, you go, that one got away. Oh, we were close.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Who was the worst one? Who hurt?
The worst one? Oh, man.
Some of those players that got away.
Let's limit it to got away. To the BYU.
Oh, like, yeah. That
you wanted to land this kid, thought you had him, and he ends up at the BYU.
The favorite story is, I love Coach McBride, but I go into the BYU. Oh, yeah.
See, now that's how you make an announcement, right, where you go. I want to say something. I'm going to already apologize here a little bit. I love Coach McBride, but I'm picking the BYU.
I'm going to the BYU.
Into the BYU. And then the best part is, I mean, but do you hope those kids have success once they're there? Just not against you.
No, you don't.
Just not against you.
Well, I want to wish them once, you know. You invest a lot of time in a kid. You want to see him do well, but you don't want to see him do well against you. But I'll tell you what, BYU had a long run, and the Scott Mitchells are the unusual stories, you know, that were, you know, when I first came here as an assistant coach, it was like, BYU could wait till the very end. You could be recruiting a kid all for 6 months, and they don't even hardly talk to him. Then all of a sudden, they decide, well, I think we need that kid because we lost this kid. So they go in, and all of a sudden the kid goes where he's committed to you. Now he's, you know, like, okay, Reno Mahi,
yeah.
You know, he committed to me 5 times. Oh, yeah, I'm coming.
Then, that's the Reno
voice. He said that
Reno.
To everybody, though, right? Yeah, that's everyone true. He talked to, he's like, I'm coming here.
And then Havili was the same thing to begin with, you know.
It's your name. Hey,
yeah, you need to go back and pray again.
Yeah. That's a great story.
But the one that was the key was Gautier Olivau. When he fasted and prayed in Utah, came out.
Yeah.
See, that's a Scott Mitchell story.
That's a Scott Mitchell story as well. Yeah. And, you know, I don't have any problem with the guys that have, you know, they chose the University of Utah. And not, you know, strictly on spiritual, based on that.
What are you trying to say?
You know, just based on it was the better fit for them. And it made sense for them to go to the University of Utah. Okay. I mean, then go to the University of Utah. And that's not, you know, I think that there's, you still want to have that rivalry and prove to them, you know, it would have been better if you'd gone to the BYU. But if you, that's the decision that you make and you feel like you're going to go to that school, the University of Utah, then okay.
All right, what drives me nuts is when these players, the high school players, don't go to the BYU or don't go to the U, they go out of state. And, right. And a lot of these players are ending up at, you know, we go to the Pac-12 media days. We talk to the David Shaws and the Mario Cristobals, and they're like, we love you. You know, we love getting players out of Utah.
What?
And that drives me bananas because I want them all to stay home, and I think it's a better situation.
I tell you what, Oregon has got some really good players. They do Oregon does a great job of recruiting. You know, not all of it is you know,
just the Nike money.
Yeah, they just got another kid, Taggart, out of Corner Canyon, if I'm not mistaken, just committed to Oregon. Sewell, obviously, is already there. So you're talking about some of the, on the defensive side, some really, you know, talented players. But, you know, here's the question I think that would be interesting to get your thoughts, Scott and Alex, Coach. So Apuka Nakua goes to Washington.
Right.
So he goes out of state, right? And then comes back to BYU.
That irked this guy. When he went, Scott was like, why do we keep losing these local kids?
Yeah.
And he went up to UW, and it seemed like a little
bit like,
I'm with
you on that. When he went to Washington, I was like, man,
it's a non sequitur. His parents weren't happy.
Right.
He made the announcement at KSL TV, and they were not happy about the announcement. They were just like, what? They shook their heads at it.
Well, I'm so glad that the portal is what it is now, because we're talking about Washington State, right? And that's the classic situation where players get jobbed is when they get recruited by somebody, then that coach leaves, fired, whatever the case may be, and now you're stuck and you're going to be in a program with a coach that never recruited you, that doesn't know who you are, doesn't really care about you, and you got to stay. Like, the coach can take another job somewhere else, but you got to stay. Now, you know, it's wide open. You can leave.
In Puka's case.
Yeah.
And now he's at BYU, and you saw the game he had last week against Baylor. And everyone's going, this guy, I mean, he was probably the – he probably is the best wide receiver in high school, out of high school.
Yeah, that was my tweet, by the way.
That was your tweet. That was. I was wondering if it was you or if it was Jack Damooney. I was like, I can't – I was like – I'm sure he probably retweeted and said, that's my cousin.
Yeah, that's my nephew. Jack Damooney doesn't know how to tweet.
Oh, he just puts links to dilemmas.
Do you know how to tweet? Are you a
tweeter? No. I don't tweet.
So, hey. How would you feel about the transfer portal, though?
I mean, not good.
Would you – You'd hate it if a player left, wouldn't you?
I don't like it, period. I mean, it's just if you're not getting what you want, you know. And I don't know how many of these kids call me. They say I bet I get 5 phone calls every couple of weeks from a kid that's not happy where he was. Hey, coach, I want to go on the portal. I said, what for? I said, why do you want to go on the portal? I'm not playing, or I'm better than the guy in front of me. I said, well, what makes you think somebody's going to pick you up off the portal if you're not playing at the school you're at? And then there's a long pause. And then it's always...
I'm taking my talents to South Beach.
Then there was, oh, the coach doesn't like me, you know. I mean, that's all high school.
Well, but at the same time, though, this is why I like the portal. Mm-hmm. Now, this is from a fan's perspective of college football.
Why do you like it?
Here's why I like the portal, because... This is how we treat normal life. I'm not a big fan of
normal life.
Yeah, look, we're free agents, right? We do the thing where we go, look, when it comes to your job or whatever, you go, this place, I'm gone. You know what I'm saying? Like, I it didn't work out for me. Or
well,
in some of these players'
now,
cases,
if you have a contract,
you got to live up to
something different, and you signed a letter of intent to play at that school, right? So, you know, are you looking at it as like you're breaking the contract?
No.
Or are you looking at it like, you know, you're a free agent?
What about the players that the coaches change over during the time that they're there? Do you give kind of some leeway to them if the coaches change over?
Well, I think there's some leeway there, but
what if it does like end up being if life circumstances are what they are, the two Nakua brothers ending up at BYU,
one coming from Utah, right?
And then I love them
playing together.
Yes, and being close to mom, like that's a big deal for that family. It was a huge deal for them. Yeah, and guess what? He's already more productive at BYU than he ever was at Washington, just because they had a lot of different talent around there. Mm-hmm. Clark Phillips III went to the University of Utah because he was the sixth, you know, 4-star guy at his position at Ohio State. He goes, I got to find a place where I think I'm going to be able to make my NFL dreams come true. We're going to take a break. I still want to make my NFL dreams come true. Can we make that happen, Scott? Who is it that worked you out for your combine?
No, it's that Miles Davis.
Oh, Miles Davis.
Miles Davis.
Yeah, so I want to see if I can.
I got one
that.
Story of Miles Davis when we come back.
All right, we'll come back. That's what we call a tease from the coach.
Yeah.
I love it.
Coach is getting good at the tease.
I love it. So this is good stuff. Hey, this week's Las Vegas Raiders game against Philadelphia Eagles brought to you by America First Credit Union, the exclusive home.
I'm learning the radio game.
Of the official Raiders debit card. All off the same great features and benefits, now with the silver and black. Learn more at americafirst.com/Raiders. Coach is going to give us some more insights on the way back here. It is our Football Friday right here on The Zone, 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. It's unrivaled. Third day in the books.
Your home for the best college football coverage in Utah. This is your Utes at 50 update on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Alrighty, this is your Utes at 50 update on The Zone Sports Network. Coach Witt says this Utah football team has a fun attitude and they love to play the game.
Every team has its own personality and its own chemistry, I guess you could say, and this team is really fun to be around. There's a lot of great leaders, and the leadership has been outstanding from the onset, but the personality of this team is just more, I don't want to say jovial, but they're having a lot of fun this year. We got a lot of guys that love football, and it shows, and that's what you want. You know, you want guys that love football, and that's what has been exuded during the course of the season.
All right, the Utes at 50 update brought to you by Built Bar. Double chocolate, peanut butter brownie, or salted caramel. 100% real chocolate, 100% real delicious. Order yours today at Built.com and save 10% if you enter Zone at checkout.
The best college football coverage in Utah is right here on the Zone Sports Network.
Let's go! Hurry up! Hurry up! The Utes travel to Corvallis for a showdown against the improved Oregon State Beavers as Kyle Whittingham and the Utes look to pick up another Pac-12 win.
You're listening to Unrivaled with Alex Curie and Scott Mitchell on 97.5 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hey, anyways, welcome back, folks. It is Unrivaled. I'm Scott Mitchell. He's Alex Curie. We're on 97.5 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network, of course, powered by KSLSports.com. We have had an amazing 2 hours. We've got Coach McBride. We have Alema Harrington here. I'm just telling you, I have thoroughly enjoyed this. You guys are awesome. It's just fun to reminisce, to talk. And to talk freely, right? And yes. And kind of, you
put
know,
it all on, out there yes, on the table.
Yes, talk of course. Free. So, I like yes, that. Yes.
Well, look, we still have to honor the FCC license, right?
And not, freedom of speech.
Not cuss too much, right?
So not too much.
Not too much. That's
well, I didn't say cuss on the radio. Just, you know, having real conversations.
I'm telling you, we used
here.
To have the real coach in. He's gotten a lot better over the last several years. But the first couple of years, you know, we always had, you know, our producer. We had to warn him.
Hey, dump button
make sure your hand is always over the dump button.
Oh yeah,
always over the dump button. But coach,
you got an education on the dump button.
I'm much better now with my language.
Good for you. I mean, I probably had to reel in Coach Edwards on that too. I mean, my heavens.
No. Hey, Lavelle had one look.
Oh yeah, we can all picture it. You know, yeah. And you know what?
Okay, I heard a story.
He was
about
the originator
Coach
of the flat brimmed hat. By the way,
I heard a story. And this was by a GA who was at BYU. I'm not going to tell you who his name is because you'll know him and a lot of people know him. But so this is a verified
Let's
story.
Let's disclose.
I can't do it.
Can't do it.
So BYU's playing Air Force. And it's the pregame, you know. So he's out there with a bunch of coaches and they're, you know, standing like, you know, watching warm-ups to see if the team's going to win or not. And the Air Force fans are chanting FU BYU, right?
Yeah.
And we all know what the F stands for.
Well, what? Right? Yeah. Thank you, Scott.
So he goes, well, who do you think the worst fans in our conference are? And so the assistants go, Air Force? And he goes, no. He goes, well, it's the Utah fans then, right? And Lavelle goes, no, it's not the Utah fans.
I already know the answer.
And they go, well, it's got to be Wyoming. And he goes, no, it's our fans. He goes, I hate doing that coaching show at
this
the end
not real.
Of the game, and I have to answer all those stupid
Scott,
questions from all the fans.
I tell you what,
how dare you?
See, that's what he did.
Dare you?
Yeah, that's what he did. He goes, I can't tell you who said this, but I can't remember exactly where I read this, but right.
I never forgot.
Has he told you that before? Did he ever tell you?
So
he did, didn't
he? They lost to Texas El Paso, right? And so I'm listening to the after game.
Is this in 97? Was this at 97?
I think this was my sophomore season.
So this was that 85.
We're coming off the national
this
championship
is 85.
Year.
Yeah, yeah.
And so
at El Paso.
I think they only lost twice to UTEP anyway, so it was 85 and 97.
So I said, I think I'm going to listen into the after-game show just so I can hear what they say, right?
It's not even what the coach says. It's what the fans ask him. That you want to see it.
So a couple of guys are going, they're telling Lavelle, you need to wake up and smell the coffee. and Lavelle goes, what is that all about?
I don't even drink coffee.
Yeah, listen,
wake up and smell the coffee.
It took 2 weeks. I mean, the version of it now is it took 2 weeks of BYU's losses on Twitter for people to go, I can't do it anymore with this team. I'm officially done. They like changed their logos on everything. I'm officially done. I can't do it with this team. I can't stand this team. I can't root for them anymore. I just forget how we get as fans sometimes, right, when we get fired up. Or those fans call in. Boy, that was it was. And I used to have to screen phone calls in those postgame shows. And they're like, Craig, this is Craig in Pleasant Grove. And you'd be like, oh, boy, Craig is a wild person. You know, like they're going to get on there. And the poor coaches have to go, that's a good point. And it's a terrible point. It's not a good point, but they have to go along and go, we'll think about it.
we might change that.
Yeah, sure.
But should we do Miles Davis?
Oh, yes.
Yes, tell your Miles Davis.
I want to hear it.
So we're playing Portland State, and the Cowboys, the head coach, and Mouse is the offensive coordinator, right? So the Cowboy used to wear all black, right? So and he's a defensive genius, and Mouse is an offensive genius, right? So we play a 71-65 game.
That is insane. Yeah, wow.
It was just insane. And you would have thought it was a Christmas present for Mouse, because after the game, he's up there hugging me. Wasn't that so much fun? And then the cowboy comes up to me and says, God, that was the worst football game I've ever seen. I looked at him, I said, your partner Mouse loved it.
Yeah, he does. It's like Scott. He go, look, I threw for 620 yards that game. We lost. You know, like
it was 631.
Was it 631?
Yeah. I apologize. Let him know.
Not
Scott.
Do you know? Not do you know? Look, but, it has been.
But it was so funny because the look on the head coach's face was, you know, like just took away all of his marbles and put them in the dirt or whatever.
Well, it's a new version.
Let me just say this before I know we're going to wrap up here, but congratulations to you guys on the Drive Time Show.
Thanks.
You know, Unrivaled has been around, and then to see it continue to evolve, but you guys have done a great job, and Scott, to see you come in and really, you know, carry the University of Utah the way that you have, and Alex representing BYU, you guys do a great job. We're happy for you. Congratulations on the show, and we're glad to be a part of it.
That means a lot. It means a ton.
It does.
We're excited.
Like, well, you're like a car salesman.
Come on, coach. That was authentic. They felt it.
Hey,
that was
hold
real.
On. I
was crying. I was actually crying.
I saw you break down.
I know. It's good.
Oh, my God.
Well, we appreciate it. It's our first time around. It's good.
Even though I'm still mad at Scott.
There's the truth. When it came out,
Lemon's still crying about the 88 game. You're so mad about Scott. It's
50 years ago, Scott threw me in a ditch, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah. But, no, I know about
it. Has it been 50 years?
I'm still trying to dig my way out of it.
Sure.
You know?
We love it. We thank you guys for having us.
We got, you know, the guy who should have won the Heisman, who ended up at Utah, didn't win the Heisman.
Absolutely.
And then we got you wearing your polo, not your BYU.
Not your BYU.
And then we got another
The BYU guy.
Yeah, so you can't lose with this show.
No, it'll be fun.
No, it'll be fun. Hey.
We're going to make Scotty G have to call in about the Aggies a little bit more. That's what we're going to have to do to make this thing a little bit more even. Well, we appreciate it, Coach. Thanks. This is our first go-around, so get ready for another trip of this going forward.
And we'll get our used car salesman here.
We'll do it. Appreciate
it. I'm a little worried about you.
As the coach and Alema walk out of here, we're glad to see him. We're going to take another break.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back. It's not KSL. It's Unrivaled, though. How long was it going to take for me to do it today? I mean, I didn't
this
have
is your
one.
First slip up of the day. You're
I didn't
fine.
Have one. I didn't have one yesterday.
No, 2 hours.
I didn't have one yesterday. Yeah, we were on KSL. Now we're over here at 97.5
1280 The Zone. I had to towel myself off. Like, that first 2 hours with Alema and Coach is just, oh, my goodness.
It's fast and furious.
That is just
it's
so
quite,
much.
It's so quite much a deal. Fun. And we're really excited. All the things that we're trying to accomplish here with our show is, number one, what you need to know about our show if you've never tuned in before, I mean, I want to study this stuff up. I want our guests to educate us. I want us to be able to entertain a little bit. And I want everybody to walk away from this thing feeling a little bit better about it. And to feel like they learned a little something else. So Scott played in the NFL, of course, for 12 years, and we've been doing a show on KSL for 4.5. And so we're really excited about bringing this thing over to 97.5 1280 The Zone. I was an intern in college at this place, and I never thought I would ever be able to come back in this capacity. So I'm really excited to be here. And listen, we met Megan today. So it's a win, Scott. That's all that matters. We've got so many things going on here with us, and we're at the store, 2050 East, 6200 South in Holiday. And it's our Jazz Insider Report time, brought to you by Tim Daly Nissan Murray, home of the auto warranty that does not quit. It's endless. It's perpetual. It's the forever warranty. As we welcome in pre and post and halftime radio host on the Jazz Network, he is Tim Lacombe. Thanks for being with us, Tim. Good to talk to you, man.
Hey, great to be with you guys. Congratulations. You guys, I've listened, you know, I've cheated. I've listened a little bit from time to time on on the, I guess, our partner now, KSL. And
yeah, you can see it.
You guys do a great job, and it's awesome to have you part of the family, so welcome.
Thank you very much. Of course, the Jazz season started, and there was one game. We were all excited about it. The Jazz won. But is it too early to know anything about the Jazz? I mean, what was your take from the first game?
You know, actually, I think you know, it's one of those years where we actually know a whole lot about this team. The Jazz, you know, for all intents and purposes, I mean, you go through just about every NBA, you know, and people that cover the NBA, and the Jazz are really kind of 1-2 in the West in most people's predictions. So, I mean, I think we know we've got a special group of guys led by three All-Stars. You know, in Conley and Donovan and Rudy. I love the moves that were made in the offseason. I've talked about that a bunch. And for a lot of different reasons, I think we brought in talented guys, but I do believe that the depth and the flexibility will really be a huge key to the season. And, you know, the other night was not much of a test. Oklahoma City's not well thought of, coming off a 22-game wins in a season. Certainly in the middle of a major, major, major overhaul, but a lot of picks to do that. So, you know, but the Jazz did what they were supposed to do, but it was great to watch a tail kicking, and I thought the guys played really, really well in game one.
So when you said, we were talking about this the other day on the show, we do what are the odds, where we just kind of have people make guesses on what the chances are of something happening. And I think Scott rolled out to me, what are the odds that the Jazz have three All-Stars again this year? And I thought, I don't know, I thought maybe it's low. I'm going to ask Tim, because I it's just so hard to get multiple All-Stars off of a team anyway. And then last year in those circumstances, to be able to say the Jazz have three All-Stars, they have three All-Star level players. And so some of it has to deal with who else is going to be out there. But what are the chances that the Jazz have three All-Stars again in a season like this, Tim?
Well, you know, I think last year, Mike Conley, fortunately after a couple of guys pulled out, he was able to be named to the team. It's funny because I think there were years in the past, you know, particularly when Mike was really cooking in Memphis, that, you know, he was just up against, you know, crazy competition. It's hard to make that All-Star team. And you said it, Alex, you know, given three bids to one team, particularly that team being Utah, which, you know, whether you believe that the stuff that's said or not, I mean, I can't imagine Utah's somebody that the NBA absolutely loves. So it was rare. Whether it happens again will depend. I think Mike Conley, he's been so impressive to me in the preseason. I think Donovan and Rudy are no-brainers. So I think they'll get two for sure. But, you know, it's all kind of a numbers game after that. But you said it best. I mean, three All-Star caliber guys, and that's really the most important thing.
Hassan Whiteside got a lot of folks excited. Getting a double block in one possession.
That's it. You can walk away from that on game one.
I think
one,
that
yeah.
was kind of the takeaway from game one. What is he going to be like this year? I mean, he's been hot and cold in different places he's been. What kind of impact do you see him having with the Jazz?
Well, I think that the locker room here and the culture is definitely a real positive. You know, when Hassan was playing really well in Miami, he was in a similar situation with really good organizational leadership and great coaching and, you know, a real understanding of what he can bring. I think the most positive thing when you talk about Whiteside and the Jazz is he really is a guy who can anchor that middle. Last year when Rudy went out of games, you know, and Locke can spout the numbers, he's way better at numbers than me. I'm more of a feel guy, but, you know, it was pretty obvious that the other team, when Rudy hit the bench, went right at Favors, put him in ball screens, you know, put him in situations where he had to guard, and he was just not a great rim protector per se. Mm-hmm. And what Hassan brings is a very similar type player who, you know, you can guard ball screens the exact same way that the Jazz guard them. You know, there's not going to be any confusion there. And I really do believe that his skill set will fit this team great. He's got to have some success, some early success, and I think, you know, game one was a real positive for him. The preseason was a little rough because he's the one, you know, he's one guy that's actually kind of getting used to a change of scenery, new vocabulary, But I honestly believe that the best thing Whiteside has going for him is he plays for the Utah Jazz, and he plays in a locker room where it really does matter. You know, if you play 30 minutes, if you play 10 minutes, you're going to be held accountable to what you do out there. And I just like the fit. I like the fit from a defensive standpoint. I think he can be a monster on the glass. What, he had 10 boards the other night off the bench in limited minutes. So, really, you're talking about a guy who just needs to hold the fort down while Rudy rests. And, you know, my thought is and hope is that if you look at minutes played last year, there are four guys in the 33 to 30-minute range, you know, and we've talked about three of them. But I think that maybe those minutes can come down for some guys, and that can only be a positive thing because it's wear and tear. I mean, you know, Scott, it's wear and tear on your body to be out there more minutes. And what the Jazz learned last year is, yes, the regular season is vastly important, but the most important thing is to have your team mm-hmm. when the playoffs come. And so my hope is that Whiteside, the addition of Whiteside, you know, Rudy Gay, as he gets healthy, I really think Eric Paschal, I think there's a place for him when they go small, and he can play a small hybrid five, and he's capable of doing it because he's so big and strong, and then he stretches the defense, he can make a shot. So I think there's a lot of really positive things. And then Jared Butler, and is he and Trent Forrest kind of battle for that spot? Those are two really good players, really talented guys, but more importantly, they understand how to play and they understand what Coach Snyder wants. And so I think that can be really positive.
Tim Lacombe, pre, half, and post on the Jazz Radio Network. You'll hear him tonight as the Jazz are going to be tipping off just after 8 o'clock on 97.5 Total 80 The Zone. And it's an important thing, too, because that late tip-off is different. I mean, you go from one place to the next all year long, and all these guys doing this thing. And I love these beginning of the season because it has to get me back into that remembering, like, getting back on schedule of all these games and watching all these games. I'm sure it's even worse for you, Tim, because it's like, I got to get back into regular season mode here too. So we were looking at this one, and I was wondering if Jared Butler, if people are laying too much expectations at the feet of this guy, because I think people are trying to make all these comparisons at the beginning, and the reality is that he does have a lot of promise, but you know, he went in there and absolutely, Quinn Snyder said it right before the game. He goes, this is his first NBA game. Like, there's no such thing. Preseason games aren't a thing. Like, that's some minutes and some experience, but that's not an NBA game. Did you see that out of the rookie this first game where he was just like, man, this is a massive stage, and those eyes got wide?
I don't know so much. I just think he just didn't make shots. You know, I mean, he was probably a little bit sped up, but he was so good in the preseason. And, and I think sometimes that is one of the interesting things about basketball is you can go out there and you can play pretty well and you can't scare the rim. And the perception is probably, you know, what's wrong. Coach Majerus went in practice when I worked for him. You know, he used to take the keys out of his pocket, and he'd say, you know what, if you miss every shot like that all year long, you can take my car. And he wasn't serious. I mean, we didn't get guys' cars. But,
well, he lived in a hotel. You know,
he didn't have a car.
He didn't really need to drive.
No,
car,
he didn't. Yeah. He would have been – he was Uber before Uber was cool.
Yeah.
You know? I think that, you know, Butler will be fine. I think the Jazz got an absolute steal on draft night. I was actually doing the draft for the station, Jake and I did it, and he was the guy that I had gone into it kind of with him highlighted and circled. And the Jazz did a great job of understanding what his difficulty was and why people were passing on him, but they felt really comfortable that they were going to get a guy who was way, way better than the draft slot he was picked in. So, yeah, while it's not going to be an overnight thing, right, and his name isn't going to be, in my opinion, you know, thrown out there for an all-star bid. But he will play a very, very important role as the season moves on. And I talked about it. It's, can you spell Mike? And can you go out there and keep things afloat when Mike's not on the floor? And when you think about Butler, Ingles, and Clarkson as your guards off the bench, you know, and add Trent Forrest to that too, man, have we had that kind of guard depth in a while, and that's what's really exciting to me. So
It's going to take a little bit of time, and he'll get it figured out. But I would not be surprised, even tonight, if in the minutes Butler played, he didn't miss, you know, because he is a really good shooter. He didn't make one the other night, and so percentages are funny that way.
What do we have to look forward to tonight when the Jazz take on the Sacramento Kings?
Well, the Kings, you know, I think the Kings, everybody knows the Kings are one of the more interesting organizations in the NBA. I think it's 15 years they're going on now, 15 years without a playoff berth. The next closest team in the NBA is Charlotte at 6.
I think they have 13 seasons that are under 500 too. So it's but like massively potent on the offensive side of things now, and I think people are kind of waiting on these guys.
That's what I was going to say. Is I think you know they've got an explosive player in De'Aaron Fox. Our guy Harrison Barnes, a veteran, had an unbelievably good game the other night against Portland at 36. And you know they have a similar situation off the bench. They're starting Tyrese Haliburton at point. And he's a really good player, really good guy, get an offense, really physical, tough dude. But when you talk about them coming off the bench, you know, they bring a guy like Davion Mitchell, who played with Jared Butler at Baylor, who's probably considered the best defender in the draft. So he'll be coming off the bench, bring a little firepower, and then Buddy Hield is still there. And, you know, Hield can go for 30 any night. So this will be – I think the thing that's interesting about this game to me – can the Jazz guard their yard? Can they guard the ball? They've struggled before with really multifaceted guards who can score at all three levels. And so tonight will be a real good test. I think it'll be interesting to see what the matchups are, who guards who. I love the buzz coming out of the Jazz camp about, you know, defense. This team is a very, very good defensive team last year by the numbers. But if you watch them every night, you know, there were situations and guys that really gave them fits and trouble. And De'Aaron Fox, a guy with great speed, agility, ability to finish at the rim, shoot threes, get out in transition. Those guys sometimes are very difficult for the Jazz. So the game within the game to me tonight is how do the Jazz guard him? You know, is everybody really up in their defensive game just a touch like we saw on night one? I mean, Bojan was down in the stance all night long and really kind of trying to create havoc. So that's the thing that I'm probably most interested to see. You guys mentioned it's a road game, so they're playing in Sacramento. And so, you know, they're going to get a taste of the road tonight.
Is that a thing, the road these days in the NBA? I mean, just how much of a thing is it, I guess?
I don't know that it's a thing so much as, like, the fans, you know, like college basketball or football. You know, I heard you guys talking to McBride, and I loved that. Lavelle said the worst fans in the league are BYU. That made me chuckle. I did listen one night when Lavelle was asked on his show if the addition of the 1st and 10 line on the field changed, made any alteration to him deciding whether to go for it or not.
Right, the yellow line that he can't see.
Yeah, and he had to tell me, well, that's just actually on television. That's not on the field.
Yeah.
So,
now, that's the kind of calls you field when you do the post-game shows.
You remember,
aren't you glad?
Alex,
aren't you glad you don't have to? I was gonna say, aren't you glad you don't have to screen all these? You know, get a bunch of fan reaction that's just like incessant and coming at you. I mean, we get enough of it on social media, right? But it's pretty wild to hear the reactions of. But I mean, like the ones that matter are those back-to-backs in two different cities on two different nights.
Yeah,
those
are
the ones that matter.
And honestly, just going out on the road, staying in a hotel, taking flights, busing, that's what's different about it, you know? And so that's just like everything, that's you get into a rhythm. And, again, this team is very veteran, and for the most part, the cohesion's really good from last year to this year. And so I don't foresee the road being, you know, a challenge per se. Now you get into playing a road game, you know, against L.A., and – the level of competition then becomes the issue, right? And guys like the Lakers feeling more comfortable playing at home. But I'm thrilled about this team. I'm excited to see, because I think tonight will tell a lot about that defense. And the game within the game will be how do they guard those guards? How do they contain them? You know, do they make things really difficult on them? They did that the other night with Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Shea Gilgeous Alexander he's so well thought of, and he, like De'Aaron Fox, is a three-level guy. And they did a nice job on him, you know, as a team collectively, and everybody got their piece. So that's what I'm going to be watching.
I'm hoping that, too. I think a lot of people are hoping for Donovan to get out to a quicker start than he did in game one of the season. And if of all the things that the Kings really, really do well, and this might be a game that Donovan Mitchell could dip into that into those higher numbers, I think that we've come to kind of know him. I love how the fans freak out after game one. 16 points. What's Donovan's problem?
I'm going to set the over-under. Let's do a little over-under.
I love
today.
This. Oh, we let's like see this game. It. What do you have?
Let's say Donovan points 25.
Okay. All right. What are you doing, Scott?
I'm going to do the over.
Okay. I'm going to also take the over, but I'm going to.
You can't take what I took.
I'm not like cheating off of you.
I know. It feels that
Tim,
way.
What would you do? You're setting it at 25 because I'm going 25. I think this might be.
I think he may go off tonight.
Yeah, it might be. It might be a big one. So
because here's the other piece about the Kings, they are the worst defensive team in the league last year, and it wasn't close.
They won that game the other night, but they gave up 127 points. I think again, and another, that's like kind of a par for the course for the Kings.
Yeah, I'm going to say over, and I'm actually going to go with a number. I'm going to say 33. I'm going to go Larry Bird tonight.
Look at that! See, and he knows how we play the game. You don't just give the number; you give the you give the jersey that's associated.
Tim gets.
Well, I'm a jersey guy. I mean,
yeah,
I'm,
we are too.
I'm telling you, I listen to you guys. Come on,
I love it. I love it. Here. Yeah, I'm glad that I recognize somebody.
I got to interview Scott Mitchell at the state tournament one year. I sat next to him with the. I was doing the sideline, and Scott was sitting behind Springville's bench.
Yeah, he was.
And I went over, sat next to him, and visited with big number 19.
There you go. See, he knows the numbers.
See, man. I'm not just 19. I'm big number 19.
The big lefty. Well, Tim, we're looking forward to it.
You're terrific then, and you're terrific now.
Look at that. Scott. Oh, thank you.
You should see how svelte he is now, too, Tim. When we all meet up in person, you can look at his svelte body.
We'll go to a buffet, and I'll start to ruin that for him.
Okay, perfect.
We're on the Majerus plan now.
The Majerus plan. They should have that up at the University of Utah.
That's quite a plan.
They should go, here's your student plan. And now the Majerus one is you can't have a shirt on until noon.
That's right. This is no joke. I'll tell you a funny Rick story. I went to dinner with him in Austin, Texas. And we walked into the restaurant, and we waited for a table, and he was over talking to the maitre d'. And they sat us at the table, and there's a table right next to us that was empty. And the whole restaurant was packed. I was like, man, that's crazy that your table's empty. He said, oh, I booked two tables. I said, what do you mean you booked two tables? And he said, well, I order enough that, you know, I got to get a couple of every entree.
But
when the food came out, there was food on our table and that table. And it was remarkable. Goodness. It was one of the funnest meals I've ever had.
Wow. Well, we look forward to more of these stories. Tim Lacombe, he's got the pre-halftime and post-game calls. He and Jake Scott do an awesome job. If you don't dip in during the game, you've got to dip in and make sure and catch these guys. Tim, we're looking forward to the rest of the season, and good luck tonight. Have fun on this game two of the season here.
Hey, you bet, guys. Again, I'm so happy for you. I know how hard you've worked to do where you are, and I know there's – criticism and haters and all that stuff, but there's that everywhere, and you guys do a dang good job. So great to have you.
Appreciate it, Tim.
Thank
yeah.
you. All right, guys.
Yeah, Scott's one of those haters too. He's like, yeah, well, we got to improve our show. I don't really like it right now either. We got to get better. And Scott's always improving. That's what I like about him. So,
but I don't know that I hate.
Well, no, but you'll look. We love the criticism. Keep it coming. All right, we've got to take a break here.
Your home for the best college football coverage in Utah. This is your Cougars at 30 update on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
All right, your Cougars at 30 update right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone, The Zone Sports Network. Jaren Hall, the old quarterback for BYU, discussing how he's gotten better as the season's gone along as a quarterback here.
I think every week I get better. I think the last 2 weeks, so I don't think it's anything different the weeks before other than just situation-wise, right, what we need to do. We're a very balanced offense. We can do everything that, as far as passing and run the ball. So I think the last 2 weeks was just called for more passing, and our receivers just did a great job getting open, making plays. And for me, I just feel like, yeah, the game slows down week by week, and you build more chemistry over the season with your receivers, and I think that's a little bit of what goes into that. But at the end of the day, it comes down to those guys getting open and making plays like they do.
right, this Cougars at 30 update brought to you by Sonic. And the grilled cheeseburger they've got going on now. Buttery Texas toast, 100% pure seasoned beef laid with American cheese. Make it a single or a double. For a limited time right now, order online or on the Sonic app. Save 50%. It's the Sonic grilled cheeseburger.
Your home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, all right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
All right, welcome on back. It is Unrivaled, 97.5 1280 The Zone, the Zone Sports Network, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm Scott Mitchell, and he's Alex Keery. We've had a great show tonight. Still winding it up here. We've got Matt Biamonte, who's host of Cougar Sports Saturday, joins us. But before he joins us, this week's Las Vegas Raiders game against the Philadelphia Eagles is brought to you by America First Credit Union, the exclusive home of the official Raiders debit card. All of the same great features and benefits now with the silver and black. Learn more at AmericaFirst.com/Raiders.
That's right, Scott. Matt Biamonte. Let me introduce him for you. Matt Biamonte has been on our show one kajillion times, but, of course, it's his first appearance on Unrivaled on 97.5 1280 The Zone. He's the host of Cougar Sports Saturday on KSL News Radio on Saturdays, one of our BYU insiders for KSLSports.com, and covers the team quite extensively. Matt Biamonte, thanks for being with us, buddy.
Hey, glad to be here, and congrats, you guys. It's awesome to hear you guys on Drive Time on the Zone Sports Network, so well-deserved, and glad to be here with you.
Thanks, man. We've got all sorts of questions with this BYU-Wazoo game. I think the biggest problem for BYU this week is got to be the unknown of the whole coaching staff situation. I mean, this at the very least, we could say that they're going to be all sorts of jacked up and ready for this game because they're so motivated, or you've got the other side of, man, they got no coaches going on here. So what are we to expect BYU to do to attack Wazoo this week?
Well, I think the thing they have to get back to doing is running the football, because this Washington State team, guys, I know they're going to be down some coaches, but based off what you've heard and read from some of the players, their starting quarterback, Jaden DeLora, put out that tweet saying how much he wanted to pack the house and how disappointed he was in the decision and how motivated they are. I think this Washington State team is going to be dang motivated. And one thing you can do as an offense, because BYU is near the bottom of the country in time of possession. So when you think about running the football, keep the offense on the field longer, keep that Washington State run and shoot offense off the field. So I think they want to mitigate just the craziness of the situation. If they can run the football like they did against Utah State, then they'll be in great shape, but that's been a struggle the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, and Matt, running the football is boring. I mean, let's just face it. It's just like, just throw it all over the place.
Scott's like, put it up in the air, man.
Actually, I might agree with you on that. It's amazing how impactful running the football has on the outcome of these games. But as you mentioned, BYU's on a two-game losing streak, and you're pretty good about kind of, I don't know, figuring this out as we've talked to you as the season's gone by. But what is it going to take for BYU to win this game and turn their fortunes around?
Well, I think the biggest thing is going to be taking care of the football. They did such a good job of that to start the year, and then it's been a problem the last 2 weeks. Only one turnover against Baylor, but that was a costly play in the game where you're in scoring position and you give it back to Baylor. So Washington State defense is top 10 guys in forcing turnovers. They're really good at forcing turnovers, and we're past the halfway point in the season, so I don't think that's a fluke. I think this defense is really opportunistic. They're good at it, and so BYU cannot give them any extra possessions with turnovers. So it's kind of cliche in football to say the turnover game is what it all comes down to, but in a game like this where emotions run high, I think turnovers will be the difference maker in this football game.
So one of the things, Matt, that I mean, the run game for BYU getting everything going, I think that was something that Alema brought up earlier, too, when we were doing our Football Fridays with him and Coach McBride. But it was, to me, also, the problem has been not being able to stop the run. It was a shock that Boise State, who doesn't run the ball very well, outrushed BYU in their loss that they had against the Broncos. And then they just get absolutely blasted last week and pushed around, manhandled by Baylor down there in Waco, and that team ran for 300-plus yards on the ground. So
I know that they have the spread offense, but Max Borgi is a legit running back. This is a guy we've always liked, is underrated, doesn't probably get enough touches, gets a lot of catches out of the backfield, I think. But how do they make sure and shore up? Because you know Washington State's watched the film and thought, well, we're going to try to go and run against this team because it's been successful with other people.
They've got to change their scheme. They tried to fill the hole at Keenan Peely by moving Chaz IU down to linebacker to add some depth there. That just hasn't worked, and I don't think that's the right place for Chaz IU to be. I think he needs to be a safety where he was making an impact throughout the first four games of the season. And losing Keenan Peely is really difficult because the other linebackers who have been great years, don't get me wrong, Wilgar's been great, Ben Bywater's been probably the newcomer of the year for BYU. Max Tooley is legit. But those guys, they don't have the knack to plug in the hole like Keenan Peely did. Like what Peely did in that Arizona game and Utah game, that hasn't been replaced by anybody. And I think the only thing you can do is change the scheme, which means bring more guys in the box. They're going to have to blitz more. They might have to do stuff they don't want to do. But that has to happen because the last couple weeks, just changing the personnel and George Udo was at safety and Chaz at lines, like that didn't work. So now you have to resort to scheme changes, and I think we'll see that against Washington State.
I legitimately do not see how Washington State loses its head coach and four other assistants at the beginning of the week,
including their play caller,
very important positions, and how they do all of this, and then they go okay, and maybe they got some coaches in by now, which is Friday. And there's no way in the world you can game plan. So if I'm BYU, I'm going to do all kinds of crazy stuff I haven't shown, or just give them something to think about, because there's no way they're going to be prepared. There's probably no way they're even going to be prepared for what BYU would normally do. I just don't see any way. And I know everyone's like concerned, and you know that this team will rise up above this occasion, and that they're going to be we're gonna fill the stadium and we're gonna win in spite of our coach
fill the stadium when you know that the stadium's not gonna be filled, right?
Yeah,
let's fill the stadium.
Come on, I mean realistically, there's no shot Washington State has in winning this. There's no way that they do that. How in the world could you ever game plan for a team losing all your coaches? That's what I don't understand, Matt.
That's a fair point. I think the one thing, though, where I do feel like Washington State could get BYU is BYU's line play has just been bad the last 2 weeks. And some of that's due to injury for sure. Losing Harrison Chance and Joe Tugalafu has hurt because the guys who replaced them, I talked about that Jaron Hall turnover against Baylor. I mean, that was just a straight whiff by Campbell Barrington, who had replaced Harrison Chance. And so if they're healthy at those positions, then I don't think it's an issue, but they're not. And we don't know if Harrison Chance is going to go. It was a game-time decision against Baylor. It's a game-time decision again. Lorenzo Balotea, he's been battling the back injury. He's an important piece, especially to stopping the run at the defensive tackle position. So if BYU can't dominate in the trenches, then anything can happen. BYU's going to have a scheme advantage, but Washington State's got some good football players. Delora leads the Pac-12 in passing touchdowns. BYU's defense, pass defense specifically, is 97th in the country. So I can absolutely see a scenario in which Washington State wins the football game.
Oh, boy. Matt just made a lot of people nervous. But you know what? That's exactly what you got to do. You got to break this thing down and tell us exactly how it's going to be. Matt Bimonte, host of Cougar Sports Saturday, joining us here on Unrivaled in 97.5 1280 The Zone. Last question here, Matt, as we get out. I'm trying to imagine now that BYU has a couple losses in the book and they haven't won. These are the only two games that they've been playing from behind too, and they haven't been able to make that comeback happen. Is that something that, like, if you don't actually have the in-game practice of being able to come back, if Washington State gets up quick and early, is BYU doomed because they haven't had the success to be able to come back in these other first two losses of the year?
No, I don't think they're doomed because they have Jaron Hall, who I think is the best quarterback in the state. And even in the two losses, he's played really solid football. He's thrown for 300 yards the past two games. He had a great connection with Puka against Baylor. Those two losses cannot be put on Jaron Hall. It really bothers me to hear that Jaron Hall needs to be benched because Jaron Hall is not why they're losing. It's line play specifically, which is been a casualty in those two losses. So I think with Jaren Hall, even if they get down early, they've shown that they can throw the football deep. Puka Nacua is third in the country in yards per reception, so they can get back in it quick. It's just, can they stop the run, and can they run the football to kind of mitigate that time of possession situation? So it's going to be a close football game. I think BYU will win, but by no means is it going to be a blow. I don't think Washington State's just going to lay over because some coaches got fired. So it should be a fun game.
Matt, we appreciate it. We're looking forward to how this thing's going to turn out, and we'll talk to you again next week so we can get a little bit of a breakdown. Thanks for hanging out, man.
Absolutely. Congrats again, guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Matt Bimonte, noon to 3 tomorrow on KSL News Radio with Cougar Sports Saturday. If you're so inclined, BYU fans out there.
I'll be a little busy tomorrow.
Scott,
I probably won't catch that program.
That phone interview, by the way, brought to you by, hey, listen, Smart Rain. These guys know that in 2022, that budget planning right now is going on for businesses. Take advantage of their Save Now, Pay Later promotion. Do your part by saving water while saving money. Check the Best of State Award winner, Smart Rain, at smartrain.net. Smartrain.net. We're going to be right back. Wrap things up on the way back. We've got our two-minute drill coming up here in just a little bit as we dive back in. One more time here. It's 2050 East and 6200 South. We are at the store in Holiday. Come by, visit us, get some jazz gear while it lasts. We still have a handful of things we can give away. So stay right here with us. More to go on 97.5 1280 The Zone.
The new zone lineup.
Home for the best coverage of the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies.
Y'all ready?
This is Unrivaled with Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery.
It's our show, right?
On 97.5 1280 The Zone, powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome back. It's Unrivaled right here, 97.5 1280 The Zone of the Zone Sports Network, powered by KSLSports.com. It's our last time being able to chat today. Scott from the store, he's the general manager up here. Scott, it's an awesome place. This is the first time I've been able to get to know it, and I think people need to know that there is a local hometown grocer that does, like, top-level meal prep for you. They got the pizza oven out here on Saturdays. They got all sorts of fun stuff going on. You guys do a great job up here.
Hey, appreciate you guys being over here. It's been really fun. Went by quick. Thank you guys so much.
Quick. The pizza oven is something that happens on Saturdays, or when do you guys do it? Yeah.
Right now, we've pretty much just kind of maintained like every Saturday. The last month's been a little rocky with all the rain, but pretty much every Saturday. You can check out our Instagram, The Store Utah, to kind of see when we do it, if we cancel or whatever. But yeah, pretty much every Saturday.
It's a brick oven pizza oven out here, and it's right when you're about to walk into the store here. So you actually walk right in, you get tempted by the old pizzas, and it's not a bad one. The zone special that we had today, 6 jumbo wings, the pizza, the 32-ounce drink, $12.80, and it's been amazing.
And I think we'll run it again tomorrow. We'll run the $12.80 tomorrow.
If you want to come in and get the $12.80 special tomorrow, you might as well do it. It's a ton of food for that much. Honestly, you go to a restaurant nowadays and you're spending $15 without even blinking, you get not even close to this amount of great food. So come up to the store, 2050 East and 6200 South. Get your holiday planning done as well. Totally. Scott, thanks for hanging out with us.
Hey, appreciate you guys so much. Thank you. Good show.
Yeah, thank you. It's awesome.
All right. Scott, did you have fun today?
I always have
lots
fun.
Going on
yes.
Here.
Wow, what a great place we're here. It's fun with Coach Mack.
It's starting to get just a little bit cold.
Yeah. Had to put
you know my favorite part? One of my favorite part is, and this is just what the world – this is just what coaches do, you know. Before we get into our – you hear the NFL music in the background means we're doing our two-minute drill here coming up when we wrap the show up. But I wanted to just bring up what Coach Mack said, and because Coach Witt's sounder just right there kind of reminded me that Coach Speak is real. When he goes, we're going up to Corvallis. Corvallis, tough place to play. When Alema tried to pull that up with the coach, what did he say? He goes,
he said,
no,
baloney.
It's not. I've been up in that stadium for seven, eight, nine, ten games. He goes, that place, the fans aren't good and the stadium's bad, which is what you don't want to tell like a fan base because the coaches always have to go, we respect our opponents. And then when a former coach goes, no, we don't.
It's because you can say that when you're a former coach.
Beaver, Utah, or the Oregon State Beavers? Which one do you prefer, Scott?
Well, they got the creamery.
They have that creamery. Yeah. They got the cheese curds.
Yes, cheese curds.
Yeah.
That'll win over anybody.
That'll win over anybody. All right. With this NFL music playing in the background, Scott, what does the two-minute drill mean at the end of the program here?
Well, let me tell you. All right, late in the football game, you're going to field kick, field goal, score a touchdown. Don't have a lot of time, so you got to hurry. Our show's the same way. Still got a lot to talk about, but not a lot of time, so we talk a little bit about a lot of things. We hurry up, finish the show, go home with the trophy because everyone gets a trophy today. And, of course, we're happy because we got two COVID shots and a plethora of desserts.
Look, the whole John Gruden thing was such a wild event of drama out of the Las Vegas Raiders camp. John Gruden says the quote, "The truth will come out," in his first statement.
Why do you wait until you get fired to say the truth will come out? Why don't you stand up and say,
right now, this is a bunch of balloon, but
stand up before you don't have a job and fight for your job and say, you know what? The truth is, here's the truth. I mean, I don't understand. It's like, oh, yeah. Because, like, to me, I'm like, whatever. I don't even care if I get the truth now. I don't want to hear it.
Here's what the truth's going to be, that there are a bunch of other dirtbags in all those emails. That's all you're going to find out,
right? Is, you know what, all this stuff was right. You know, maybe that is the truth.
Well, it's going to be like there are a kajillion emails out there that are going to indict a bunch of people. That's what the truth is going to end up being, right?
Yeah, so, it could be. Well, I won't say.
Okay.
All right. Never mind.
Family show, Scott.
Yeah, I can't say.
So...
tune into the podcast version.
Wait, is it? Do you cuss on that one?
Oh,
you
can't. Every other
word. You can't cuss on the podcast
version.
I've
never said a cuss word in my life.
Good for you.
Alex.
What happened when your grandma saw you on TV saying that one cuss word, though?
I just learned to cover my mouth with a towel.
There you go. you're like, Grandma, I had to clean the vacuum. That's all I was telling the guys at the team, just reminding them to. I had to do it. So, Mike Gundy. The original mullet-wearing 40-year-old man of college football, Oklahoma State's head coach. He's got this perpetual 5-year contract at Oklahoma State, and they just upped it again. So that's a pretty sweet deal, right? Basically, they just go anytime you want until the end of your career, you can have a 5-year contract.
Well, and he's done such a tremendous job there. He was a player, a quarterback at Oklahoma State. Really kind of is building a program that's, you know, maybe a top 10 program,
a top 15 program. The Big 12 needs this when Oklahoma and Texas leave, for sure.
And a lot of people maybe in the state of Oklahoma become more interested in Oklahoma State. But even with any kind of deal, like a 5-year perpetual deal, there's still issues with it. Like, they can still fire you. There's still a buyout clause. You know, all these things don't mean it's just 5 years forever. They can always get like tired of you and just say, we've had enough, we're done. It's nice to have that confidence and that vote of confidence, but college sports and you know, all this football stuff is fickle business.
Yes. No, my wife asked me on that same contract situation, 5-year perpetual deal.
But she has a buyout clause, and it's
only really as long as things are going okay.
Right.
I'm in an option year here with her, so I need to figure out.
Yes.
This is an important anniversary for us. So
what does she determine? Whether it's just like you flip a coin?
I'm
either going to renew or not.
I said, look, honey, we're not undefeated, but I'm working on it. I've got a couple things up my sleeve here.
What I want to know, what are the overtime rules, though, in your
overtime
marriage?
Rules in our marriage?
Like, what happens if you guys get into overtime?
Oh, so every the overtime rules in our family are you get to go from the 10-yard line because, you know, you get older.
10.
You don't want to travel all the way down the football field. Yeah. You go straight from the 10-yard line.
And you need a running start.
Honestly, my kids' league does overtime way better than I think the NFL and college does. They just punch it in from, like, the 2. It's like a shootout. Everybody gets to punch it in from the 2, and if you don't do it, then you're gone. The thing's over, man.
What point, then, does your wife make you go for 2?
Let me see here. Oh yeah, no. Second overtime.
Second overtime.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, we don't want to be. Look, she's like saying, "Look, we don't want to keep doing this thing. We're both 80. Come on, man, wrap it up." Speaking of wrapping it up, it's the end of the program. 2-minute drill is in the books, and it's our last one of the week. And so it was the greatest 3 days that we've ever had. On the zone.
Been a fun start. It has been a fun start.
It's the best. I told Scott earlier in the week when we started up on Wednesday. I mean, we were thrown into Wednesday too. All right. And when we were thrown into Wednesday, I said, Scott, we're working for the weekend, baby. We're working for the weekend.
Hey, we still got another hour to go.
We do. So we've got a lot going on. We're going to hang out. We've got some more to go. So stay right here with us right here. It's 97.5 1280 The Zone and the Zone Sports Network. It is unrivaled.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.